the high desert and the great American Southwest. I bid you good evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you may be in the world's prolific time zones, covering all of them with this program. We are Coast to Coast AM. I'm Art Bell. And I've got to tell you, the hair on the back of my neck is standing up right now. And that doesn't happen easily. I've dealt with a lot of strange things for a lot of years. And so that doesn't happen easily, and I'll tell you all about that in a second. I thought tonight we would do open lines all night long, something I haven't done in a very long time. And toward that end, I will donate one line, what is usually the first-time caller line. That would be area code 775-727-1222 to the, what shall we call it? The non-human entity encounter line. That would cover a lot of territory, including abductions, of course. But that's exactly what I mean, the non-human encounter line. Those of you out there who really have encountered a non-human entity of any kind under any circumstance. But I have a feeling that the show may take a different direction. Let us first review the news such as it is this evening. U.S. intelligence agencies need to explain why their research indicated that Iraq possessed banned weapons before the American-led invasion, says the outgoing top U.S. inspector, who now believes Saddam Hussein had no such arms. Quote, "I don't think they exist," end quote. That's David Kaye on Sunday. The fact that we found so far, the weapons just don't exist. We've got to deal with that difference and understand why. So he's essentially saying to Washington, you really need to explain this. We went to war over this, and they don't seem to be here. This does require a public explanation. In Iraq, a U.S. helicopter crashed in the Tigris River while searching for a missing soldier on Sunday. The aircraft's two crew members were missing. Didn't say what caused the crash of the OH-58D Warrior helicopter attached to the 101st Airborne Division. The rover, NASA's Opportunity rover, that is, zipped its first pictures of Mars to Earth on Sunday, delighting and puzzling scientists just hours after the spacecraft bounced to a landing. The pictures show a surface smooth and dark red in some places and strewn with fragmented slabs of light bedrock in others. Bounce marks left by the rover's airbags when it landed were clearly visible in the pictures. This one should raise your hackles a little. Thai boy dies as bird flu hits Indonesia. Hundreds of soldiers wearing safety masks, rubber gloves, and protective caps fanned out across a central Thai province Sunday on a mission to bury chickens believed to be carrying the bird flu. A 6-year-old Thai boy died of the disease late Sunday, becoming the country's first confirmed human fatality, as the World Health Organization warned the virus could be resistant to basic human influenza drugs. That's scary stuff. Barbara Walters, stepping down from 2020, said she'll step down this fall as host of That News Magazine program. Walters, 74, will do about 6 interview specials a year for ABC, including her pre-Oscar show, but away from 2020 she goes. So that's a sort of a brief world cast. It's bad enough in the world right now, isn't it? Recap of the world's news. I wrote a book with Whitley Strieber. It's called The Coming Global Superstorm. And when Whitley and I wrote this, we envisioned by looking ahead. So, yes, of course, it's part science and part science fiction. And it's, of course, the book used in part, based in the movie is based in part, the coming movie, The Day After Tomorrow, it's called. You can see the trailer if you haven't seen it yet. It's based in part on this book, which many, of course, dismissed as science fiction, environmental scare stuff. Anyway, in the premise, if those of you who have the book, just turn to the inside cover. And in the coming global superstorm, we have this paragraph right there on the inside cover. What will trigger it? Meaning the coming global superstorm. What will trigger it? Let me read from that. One paragraph. Global warming is about to cause the North Atlantic Current, which pumps warm water into the Arctic, to suddenly drop to a more southerly route. This will cause an explosive change in climate, spawning a massive storm as cold Arctic air is freed to pour south, clashing with overheated air in temperate zones. That's what it says in the science fiction book. Now, I want to read you a story. I'm sorry we don't have it up. I did just before showtime phone Lex Lonehood to try and get a link up to this, but if you want to check out what I'm about to read you, you can go to the independent.co.uk and read it, because that's where the story has come from. Breaking tonight with today's date, January 25th, the independent.co.uk, and as soon as Lex gets it, we'll get a link up there. Well, I'll tell you what, it's a pretty long story, so let's quickly take a break, bearing in mind what I just read to you from our book, The Coming Global Superstorm. Keeping that in mind, we'll be right back. Once again, this story that I'm about to read you, breaking in the last couple of hours from the independent.co.uk. Headline is, global warming will plunge Britain into new ice age within decades. Listen to this. Britain is likely to be plunged into an ice age within our lifetime by global warming, new research suggests. It always begins that way. New research suggests. A study which is being taken seriously by top government scientists has uncovered a change of, quote, remarkable amplitude, end quote, in the circulation of the waters of the North Atlantic. Now, this, you're just hearing about this. A remarkable, let's see, use their words, a change of remarkable amplitude. Similar events in prehistory are known to have caused sudden flips of the climate, bringing ice ages to Northern Europe within a few decades. The development, described as, quote, the largest and most dramatic oceanic change ever measured in the era of modern instruments, end quote, by the U.S. Woods Hole Oceanographic Institute, very well respected, which led the research, threatens to turn off the Gulf Stream, which keeps Europe's weather mild. Turn it off, folks. If that happens, Britain and Northern Europe are expected to switch abruptly to the climate of Labrador, which is on the same latitude, bringing a nightmare scenario where farmland turns to tundra and winter temperatures drop below minus 20 degrees centigrade. Much heralded cold snap predicted for the coming weeks would seem balmy by comparison. A report by the International Geosphere Biosphere Program in Sweden, launched by Nobel Prize winner Professor Paul Crutzen and other top scientists, warned last week that pollution threatened to trigger, quote, trigger changes with catastrophic consequences, end quote, like these. Scientists have long expected that global warming could paradoxically, and it does seem that way, I know, cause a devastating cooling in Europe by disrupting the Gulf Stream, which brings as much heat to Britain in winter as the sun, as does our sun. The U.S. National Academy of Sciences has even described such abrupt, dramatic changes as, quote, likely, end quote. But until now, it has been thought this would be at least a century away. The new research by scientists at the Center for Environmental, Fisheries, and Agriculture Science at Lowestoft and Canada's Bedford Institute of Oceanography, as well as Woods Hole, indicate that this may already be beginning to happen. Dr. Ruth Curry, the study's lead scientist, says, quote, this has the potential to change the circulation of the ocean significantly in our lifetime. Northern Europe will likely experience a significant cooling. Robert Gagosian, the director of Woods Hole, considered one of the world's leading oceanographic institutes, said, quote, we may be approaching a threshold that would shut down the Gulf Stream and cause abrupt climate changes. Even as the Earth as a whole continues to warm gradually, large regions may experience a precipitous and disruptive shift into colder climates. The scientists who studied the composition off the waters of the Atlantic, of the waters rather, from Greenland to Tierra del Fuego, found that they have become very much saltier in the tropics and subtropics, and very much fresher toward the poles over the last 50 years. This is alarming because the Gulf Stream is driven by cold, very salty water sinking in the North Atlantic. This pulls warm surface waters northwards, forming the current. The change is described as the fingerprint of global warming. As the world heats up, more water evaporates from the tropics, falls as rain in temperate and polar regions, making the warm waters saltier and the cold ones fresher. Melting polar ice adds more fresh water. Ominously, the trend has accelerated since 1990, during which time the 10 hottest years on record have occurred. Many studies have shown that similar changes in the waters of the North Atlantic in geological time have often plunged Europe into an ice age, sometimes bringing the change in as little as a decade. The National Academy of Sciences says the jump occurs in the same way as, quote, the slowly increasing pressure of a finger eventually flips a switch and turns on a light, end quote. Once the switch has occurred, the new hostile climate lasts for decades at least, and possibly centuries. When the Gulf Stream abruptly turned off about 12,700 years ago, it brought about a 1,300-year period known as the Younger Dyas. This froze Britain, that's right, folks, froze Britain in continuous permafrost, drove summer temperatures down to 10 degrees centigrade and winter ones to minus 20 centigrade, and brought icebergs as far south as Portugal. Europe, obviously, could not sustain anything like its present population. Droughts struck across the globe, including Asia, Africa, and the American West. That's where I am. As the disruptive Gulf Stream affected currents worldwide. Now, some scientists say, of course, this is a worst-case scenario and that the cooling may be less dramatic, with the world's climate flickering between colder and warmer states for several decades, but they add, in practice, this would be almost as catastrophic for agriculture and civilization as what I just read you. So it's kind of eerie. It's very eerie to write a book. Particularly one in which you have described the precise trigger for the coming global superstorm, as we did in our book. The abrupt stoppage of that Atlantic flow, and here we are with a story tonight saying it's already begun. It's already begun. So I think that I would like to ask all of you a pretty heady question, and that is, how do you think the world would react to a worldwide global environmental catastrophic event of this magnitude? Exactly this. We've got to get this story up so you can read it. And when I did, having written that book, of course, the hair on the back of my neck just stood straight up. This is within the last few hours. And so I've been toying with this idea and this concept for a while, as you know, since, of course, writing the book with Whitley. But here it is. Now, I wonder how you think the world would handle such an event. Europe would be in dire distress, immediate dire distress. I mean, London would be suddenly frozen. It'd be frozen over. I mean, they could no longer sustain the population of that portion of Europe, period. It would shift ultimately billions of people. And it could do that inside of 10 years. Just like you heard the article, I hope you did, just like somebody throwing a switch that quickly. Now, what is it we're seeing with the climate right now? The little flickering, twitching changes that are occurring before that moment? Or something less dramatic? Well, according to this story, I would say, just offhand, you combine this with things like species jumping, viruses, and all the rest of it, and you begin to get a pretty dire picture, actually. And I just wonder how you think the world would deal with, what would happen? Europe, to some degree, would begin to empty, right? People would, they'd get the hell out. But where would they go? Would we help, for example, Britain? Certainly, I guess we would, wouldn't we? We'd have to do our very best. America would have to do its best to help part of Europe. Would we help the French? I don't know. Could we handle the influx of people to America? America would have its own problems. According to this article, the American West would be in an extremely serious drought. Asia would be in trouble. The world would be in really big trouble. Because where we presently grow things and have people living, it just would not be fit any longer to grow these things, and you couldn't grow them, so you'd have starvation, you'd have movement of people on a scale that we can't even contemplate. Would we slam our borders closed if the world began to have a crisis of this magnitude? Could we afford to do that? Would we continue to get oil? How drastic would the change be here? Even if Europe froze, which is becoming more likely, frankly, by the moment in my mind, how would the world, what would the politicians do you suppose? Our president, how would he handle it? Could we afford to hold the rest of the world's or two-thirds of the rest of the world's hand in every way, financially, economically, with foreign aid, allowing our borders to be open at a time when we're thinking, frankly, probably privately, of closing them with the terrorism threat and all the rest of it? It's a very serious story. A very, very serious story. Of course, I suppose there will continue to be those with their heads in the sand out there. We will always have that crowd until it actually occurs, and perhaps even after the event itself begins, which appears to be the case right now, they will continue to have their heads in the sand. And all in all, there may not be anything we can do about this at all. We may not be able to prevent it. We like to think we are our own masters, and to some degree we are, but Mother Nature, well, she just may have another plan in mind for us. So I thought, aside from having totally open lines, which we will have tonight, that I would ask you how you thought we would handle, I guess ask about the U.S., our government, would handle such a world catastrophic event of this magnitude. People moving, nations becoming uninhabitable, people starving to death. How would we handle that? Seems like that'd be a good topic for a talk show, doesn't it? What do you think our Congress would do? What would you recommend? I mean, would you help the rest of the world, the Europeans, our friends, the British? Maybe not our friends, the French, former friends. What about the rest of Europe? A lot of lands would become uninhabitable. Would we have our hand out and our wallets open? It may be happening. From the high desert, this is Coast to Coast AM. Riders on the storm.
At area code 775-727-1295. The first time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call Art at 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art Bell by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
And then the following will be the least creepy of all to you, but it's the most creepy to me. Yeah, we wrote the book, The Coming Global Superstorm. And that was the premise, you know, the North Atlantic Current. And then tonight I find this story. By the way, thank you very much, Lex Lonehood. If you want to see a link to it, it's just out by a couple hours, an hour, 2 hours, something or another. We've got it up on the website right now. Thank you, Lex. Right up there at the top, Coming Ice Age. Just click where the orange word that says article. You can read what I just read and see if I embellished anywhere at all in any way. I didn't. What really creeps me out, though, is regarding this whole thing. I can feel it. I can feel it coming. I know it's going to happen. And I actually think that I can feel it happening. I can feel the fact that it's hanging over us like a giant dark cloud over the entire world right now, because it's actually happening. That's just my feeling, but that's the one that really sets the hair straight up on the back of my neck. Probably the least important for you in terms of the book forecast or the article out tonight, shocking article out tonight. Least important to you, but maybe the most important to me, because I just know it. It's one of those knowing things. I'm not psychic, but I've known this for a long time. I've known that we were about to undergo a rapid climate change, and I've known that for quite some time now, mentally. I've just known it. And I don't expect you to enter that into your equation at all as we discuss this. But I know it's coming. And that does kind of freak me out. We'll be right back. I I promised open lines, and here they come. On the international line, you are up first. You're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. Good evening. It's Paul calling from the Paul Show in Vancouver.
Yes, sir.
Listening on 1410 CFUN.
Thank you.
How are you this evening?
Quite well, thank you.
Great. First, your topic. I think what I feel the last couple of years, Art, is that the summers have gotten a lot hotter. The sun seems to be hotter.
Mm-hmm.
And I do agree with what you're saying. I think something rash is going to happen. I feel...
I can feel it coming.
Yeah.
I know it's coming. All of me feels it. It's just one of those knowing things, which I wouldn't expect to mean much to you, but...
I absolutely agree with you. And I feel, you know, it's going to cause chaos. The world may go into war. I feel people are going to have to move underground, and I feel we're going to have to make artificial growing environments.
Oh, you think it would force people... Well, it might force some people underground.
Yeah.
There's just not enough good arable land if something like this were to occur.
Well, what's all this drilling we hear underground, what the government's doing right now?
Maybe they know something we're just finding out. I don't know. I have no idea. But boy, I'll tell you what, don't take my word for it. We've got the link up now. Go read this article for yourself.
I can't wait for that movie to come out. I'm really anxious to see it.
What do you think the United States would do if Europe, for example, got into really serious trouble? I mean, it iced over. It became Labrador. What do you think the U.S. would we give aid? Would we open our borders? What the hell would we do?
We'd have to try. Absolutely, I think we'd have to try. But I feel there's only so much room, and I feel it's going to create chaos. And people, after a while, people will be fighting for food.
Yeah, yeah, that's the thing of wars, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Another quick comment, if I could.
Sure.
If the rovers, we do get them working on Mars.
Yes.
And, the whole reason we sent them there is for life.
Yes.
If the cameras actually do spot one of Richard Hoagland's, statues or tunnels or tubes.
Well, let's back up a little bit. The whole reason we sent them there is not life. That's certainly a possible byproduct of what they might discover, but really, we want to know about water. I think that was a prime objective, but that kind of equates to life.
Yeah. All I'm saying is if they did get a picture of it, would the government or NASA get to show the public? Would we actually get to see it, or would they cover it up?
That's a better question than you know. Let me try and deal with that. And then they might already have something like that, right? They might have a photograph of something that shows there once was a civilization on Mars. And if they got such a photograph, would they release it to us? I don't think so. Not right away. I think that NASA would want to. I think that there would be political considerations that for at least a period of time would take precedence. And there would be a lot of consultation with all kinds of people before they would, release that kind of information. That you'd want to run it by the clerics and the wise men and the politicians and all the boards and probably Brookings Institute, Brookings or something. Once again, I don't know. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
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 How's it going there, Mr. Bell, I presume?
You presume correctly.
Yeah, and my brother had me call the show. He says you guys are pretty well informed on my subject here.
And that is?
Well, I live down here in Tucson, Arizona.
Uh-huh.
I live on the west side, way outside of town.
Right.
Pretty much for miles and miles around, all you see is sand, brush, and cactus. A couple of weeks ago, me and my brother and my cousin, we were out there on my porch, relaxing, watching the sunset, and a coyote jetted through the right in front of my trailer there.
A fairly common sight in this part of the world.
Yeah, they usually stay away from my trailer. About 10 minutes later, two more coyotes ran through.
Mm-hmm.
And so me and my buddies, we got our rifles out. We sat out front there with our beers.
No, you're not going to shoot coyotes, are
well,
you?
Well, down here they're considered a pest. They're overpopulating. They get into our chicken huts.
So you, your beer, and your rifles are on the front porch.
Yeah, and we just defend our perimeter around our house, so they understand to stay away, which they usually do. But anyways, excuse me. So we're sitting out there. It's already gotten dark. Sun went down, and I see, looks like people going through the brushes. So, I mean, like I said, miles from anywhere. No people come around my area.
Mm.
So me and my brother went out. We headed out there to go see what's going on. We took our floodlight. We have a million candle power floodlight.
And no doubt your rifles.
Of course, yeah. Mm. Anyways, we got out there, and we were attempting to follow the people we thought we saw, and then there appeared to be more behind us.
Mm.
Sometimes in this area, so close to the border, we get a lot of illegal immigrants coming through.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't harass them. I don't detain them. You know, it's not my business, really. But that's what we figured they were. So we snuck up on the group coming behind us.
Now I'm sure this will all ends well, and I'm hoping this does end well. But it right now is beginning to sound like a Darwin Award story. Continue, please.
Right. Anyways. We tried to flank them, so we spaced out and crouched down. They appeared to be going right between us. From what I saw, it's hard to explain. It looked like a shadow.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you see people's shadows walking on the ground.
Yes.
It appeared like their shadows on the ground were standing straight up and they were walking.
So
that's all there was of them.
So what'd you do?
I stayed where I was. We were going to jump out, put our lights on them, but I stayed where I was. I was pretty scared, and my brother was too. He didn't jump out, and we just watched them walk through. I say it or them. I don't know.
Sure a exactly troop of shadow people.
Sorry. Yeah, it looked like a group of them. Anyways, we stayed exactly where we were. I heard my brother whistling. We have a call to each other, so I went over to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was scared so bad, he just didn't know what to do. But we wound up staying there and talking about it, you know, trying to say we had too many beers or what's mm-hmm. going on here. And another group came through. And
another group of shadow people.
Yeah, and it was a much, much larger group this time. It was like like standing in the brush, it was like almost like a wave of water. You can, like, feel and see.
So now what did you do?
Oh, well, we just sat there. Yeah.
And now, at no time did you shoot at the shadow people.
No, we didn't know what was going on. I was too afraid to turn on my swamp light, much less take a shot at something.
All right, so this ended well. You both are alive, and you might have
really been, well. My brother hadn't recovered quite the same.
I think I've got you. All right, well, that did sound like the beginning of a Darwin Award, didn't it? Speaking of which. We have a few for your consideration here. Let's see, a runner-up in the new Darwins. An American teenager was in the hospital yesterday recovering from serious head wounds received from an oncoming train. When asked how he received the injuries, the lad told police that he was simply trying to see how close he could get his head to a moving train before he was hit. And in this way, the gene pool surely is cleansed. And then this. When a man attempted to siphon gasoline from a motorhome parked on a Seattle street, he got much more than he bargained for. Police arrived at the scene to find a very sick man curled up next to a motorhome near a spilled sewage. Police spokesperson said, man tried to attempt to steal gasoline, but unfortunately plugged his siphon hose into the motorhome sewage tank by mistake. By the way, owner of the vehicle declined to press charges, saying it was the best laugh he's had all day. And then finally, this. When his .38 caliber revolver failed to fire at his intended victim during a holdup in Long Beach, California, the would-be robber, James Elliott, did something that can only inspire wonder. He, of course, peered directly down the barrel and tried the trigger again. This time it worked. And in this way, perhaps the human race advances. I'm not sure about that. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, good evening, Art. Thanks for taking my call.
And you're very welcome.
This is Roland. I'm calling from Boise, Idaho.
On a cell phone, aren't you, Roland?
Yes, I am. You can always tell, can't you?
Yes.
But I think that last caller, did you know that in Asia's part of the world, they also grow peyote down in that country?
They also what?
grow peyote, the little hallucinogenic plant.
Oh, yes. Do you mean peyote?
Yes.
Peyote, yes. Yes, indeed. Yes. You think they may have been had a little peyote with their beer? And?
Well, I don't know. Sounds pretty strange to me. But yep. In regard to the business about Great Britain and that country
Europe,
freezing
actually.
Over.
Yes.
How's that?
Europe, actually, yes.
Yes. I think what might happen as far as United States policy is that regardless of whether it's Republicans or Democrats in office, I think we will continue to pursue an aggressive oil policy and create more situations.
We would have to pursue an aggressive oil policy no matter what the hell happened anywhere in the world.
It wouldn't, exactly.
It wouldn't matter. However, there would certainly potentially be a fight. For example, a freezing Great Britain in Europe would have to have, certainly at the beginning of this, before they realized perhaps their land was not habitable any longer, there would be a long period of time where they would need a great deal of heating fuel and fuel just to stay alive.
You bet they would. And I can see that, you know, our policies being aggressive in Iran and the Eastern Caspian and a number of other places. But
oh, wait a minute. You don't think that's why we might invade a country like Iraq right in the middle of the oil world, do you?
Oh, no.
It couldn't be. It couldn't be that. It was the weapons of mass destruction, right?
That's exactly right.
Darn right.
Give me three lashes for that. I'm sorry. But as an aside, I know Lex is doing a good job for George, but I wanted to make sure that your previous webmaster, Keith, did he land up all right, okay, somewhere?
Keith Rowland is doing fine. I talk to him from time to time, and I talked to him, in fact, I talked to Mary Rowland just a couple days ago. They're doing fine.
He did a wonderful job for you, Art.
He absolutely did. I appreciate the call, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, and take care. It's really interesting, isn't it, to contemplate how we would help our neighbors, what we would do or not do to help our neighbors, and if it really got rough, what we would do. I mean, it's almost hard to picture a world, the kind of world that this story depicts as our being on the threshold of right now. This is a big story. I wonder if the networks are going to pick this up. I wonder if the major U.S. networks, anyway, are going to pick this up. Or is this something just too... Well, it's got the major research scientists from Woods Hole. I mean, it's got everybody behind it. But it's a pretty scary scenario, a pretty scary story. What do you think the networks will do with this over the next couple of days or weeks? Sometimes they don't get it right away, you know. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, this is Michael in Norfolk, Virginia.
Hi, Michael.
I'm a little chilly. My voice may sound a little shaky. I just come in from shoveling snow.
A lot of snow there.
Yeah, it's kind of unusual for us.
I like snow. I can see it on the 11,900-foot mountain outside my window here, and that's the best place for it, right up there.
Wow, wow. I want to address your question of the night, if it won't cost me the chance to talk about your interview with the CIA remote viewer Len Buchanan 2 weeks ago, and why I think it will mark the greatest turning point in the history of this program.
Mm-hmm.
So let me talk about...
Okay, go ahead and do both. Do both.
Okay, the question of the night.
Yes.
Would we help the Europeans in the case of a major disaster?
And even beyond that, how would we react as a nation? I mean, would we slam the borders shut? Would we, or what?
Well, I've got a surprised answer for you. I think that you are playing the role of Jonah the prophet.
Please. It's eerie enough for me right now. Don't lay that on me.
Well, this is a good thing.
Well, I don't know if I think of it that way.
I'll tell you why I think it's a good thing. Because as in the case with Gary North, where you saved America and the whole world from a tremendous Y2K collapse.
Not everybody feels that way about Gary North, even though you are absolutely correct. The billions of dollars spent on Y2K prevented a disaster, but people don't buy that because it didn't happen. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, $500 billion is not the kind of money that corporate America likes to spend, and the only reason they did it is because coast-to-coast listeners bombarded their banks and their governments, and everybody that has anything to do with power in this country, and they had to spend the money. It's as simple as that. Mm-hmm. We would have had disaster. So they're laughing at you for being a success, and I hope you'll be a success again. Last night's guest, coupled with Fred Allen Wolf, tells us why, with the mass consciousness, we could prevent a coming global superstorm, which is inevitable. The scripture talks about it. But
all right, listen, we're very short on time, and I don't want you to miss out here. So.
Okay. Lynn Buchanan and why.
Yes.
Look, he described something called remote influencing, bilocating, and this is very controversial because he described doing it to Jesus, just as Ed Dames described doing it to Satan.
Yes,
now, the reason
yes.
why this is very significant is this. Jesus himself talked about this dynamic. He said it is a principle that can be used. He described himself as using it. He, on the night that he was crucified, told his disciples that this is the way by which he would influence them in the future.
All right, we've got to hold it right there. If I could travel in time, I guarantee the time I would pick would be the time when Jesus walked on the earth. I would want to see that for myself. Oh, if only one could see that, how it would change life.
Kind of mailed.
Take a ride? To talk with Art Bell, call the Wildcard line at area code 775-727-1295. The first-time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll-free 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Best thing for you to do is decide for yourself, but don't stick your head in the sand. go read an article that I've now got up on the website, coasttocoastam.com. It's top there. It says feature article, Coming Ice Age. We just got it up at airtime. Click where it says article in orange, and you'll be taken to the United Kingdom, where if you sit and you read the entire article dated tonight, now, it'll turn your blood cold, just like the... Just like parts of the Atlantic are about to turn cold, and what that's going to do. Well, that's what we're talking about, so if you're just joining us late, go read that article and join in. But it's open lines. Anything you want to talk about, fair game. Oh, good evening. Or if you can say that about a morning when you have news like this, I don't know. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Al. How you doing?
I am okay, sir. Where? What's your first name?
Dan.
All right, Dan. What's up?
Phoenix. Going back to, say, 1960, I've been concerned about what we're talking about now.
Mm.
And it's always been kind of on my mind. And... just to read that has to do, and later on I'm reading Casey's predictions about earth changes, and one of the, and he, without getting into all of the earth changes, one of the, at the very end, he says that the northern part of Europe will change within a twinkling of an eye, which is fast.
Yes.
I'm a hypnotist for many years, and I have one subject that I put under, and she's phenomenal. She's scary.
Why so?
I'll explain a few of the things she comes up with, and I never suggest, you know, anything to her. In fact, she doesn't know who our Bell is, and the subject we're into, she's far away from. So the things that I've asked her about was, what are the chemtrails? And she described the ships as being big airplanes with only windows up in the front. They weren't passenger.
Now, why would you have reason to believe that under hypnosis or not, she would know what chemtrails are?
She doesn't under ordinary conditions. She didn't know what chemtrails were until I started questioning her. And
but I mean, from where do you imagine she amasses this knowledge, under hypnosis or not?
Some entity that happens to be her guardian angel or whoever, I really don't know.
Okay.
So anyhow, she comes up with this information, and one of it is that the chemtrails are by, she describes the ships, and she describes, she says the airplanes land on the west coast in an area that has very short grass, which she didn't understand.
Did you ask her what the purpose of the chemtrails would be?
Didn't get into that much, but boy, she sure described as a spout coming out the back, coming out underneath.
All right, I think I've got it. So somebody's sort of channeling in a way. Well, here's one scenario that I don't toss away as impossible. There have been many reports of what appear to be not the normal contrails of an airplane, but rather something else. And we've had a lot of chemical reports and guests on the subjects, and they're called chemtrails. And people are suspicious that something's coming out of these jets other than, you know, the normal contrail. Well, a wild-ass guess might be that our government, or governments of the world, have in fact determined what we're just beginning to find out now. And that is that the world is in for a massive climate change of some sort. And you have to imagine that this effort might be some attempt to make less or even stop what otherwise appears to be underway. And that's truly a wild-ass guess. That's all it is. You know, why else would you spray? Well, you might be spraying people, you might be testing bioweapons, you might be trying to prevent some sort of disease, a terrorist act, or you might be trying to change the weather. International Line, you're on the air. Hello, where are you?
Good evening, Art. This is Sally calling from Vancouver, Canada.
Okay, Sally.
To you on CFUN 1410. I've never called you before, but I listen to you a lot. I do enjoy your topics on prophecy and the pyramids and this current topic. I tuned in late, so I heard something about the weather. I don't know what this horrific thing is I'm visually impaired and I don't have an internet. But I wanted it brought to mind some year in Vancouver here, the weather is quite mild on the coast. But we always had snow in December, January, February. But some number of years ago, maybe 10 years ago, I noticed that in winter, there was no snow at all. We had several winters where the grass was green and it was very spring-like. And, you know, nobody seemed to notice it. I kept saying to people, do you notice there's something different? Mm-hmm. The weather's changed. And they said, well, you know, there wasn't much reaction. And I kept saying...
Well, that's because for most people, it's the weather and it always changes. I mean, it's not a topic of world a class discussion. You know, it does change. I mean, it gets really cold for a while, really hot for a while, but there are trends that are much larger than those. And what we're discussing tonight is the current in the Atlantic Ocean.
Mm-hmm.
We have a report tonight out just hours now indicating that this current is slowing,
mm-hmm.
and may be about to stop. And should that occur, Great Britain and that part of Europe would suddenly become frozen.
Oh.
Oh, yes. Frozen. Actually, frozen. Other parts of the world.
Is that the Gulf Stream that they're talking about?
Why, yes, it is.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, the thing about the discussion of the weather, it's not like, as you say, just changing from day to day, one day hot. It is so drastic, the seasons, that I kept saying there's something very, very wrong. At that time, there were no books out on global warming or discussions about that type of thing. But I kept saying that there's something, the climate, at least in this part of the country, is changing dramatically.
Okay, the U.S., you know. Yes, U.S. Woods Hole Oceanographic Institute, you know, very well respected, I mean, worldwide reputation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just said that, described the development as, quote, the largest and most dramatic oceanic change ever measured in the era of modern instruments.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think our government and your government in Canada
mm-hmm.
would do to aid a Europe suddenly unable to sustain human life?
Well, when you say freeze over...
I mean get as cold in London as it is in Labrador.
And there'd be sort of ice all over the place or something?
Sort of, yes.
Well, I don't know about this country here because our government seems to be so broke all the time. And
so you're saying Canada couldn't really chip in big time?
Well, what could they do?
Well, you could open your borders and you could allow
people to come in?
Millions of Europeans who won't have a place to live.
Uh-huh.
To come in.
But how, would they come over the Atlantic by boat, or how would they come over?
Cause probably any way they could.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, they might just do that because, you know, we're sort of an open country here. Just about the immigration laws now are so loose that,
You have to wonder how those sorts of things, thank you, might change. You know, immigration laws, those sorts of things, when you had hundreds of millions of people that wanted to immigrate. I mean, that's not the normal flow of immigration. That's emptying, you know, a big portion of a continent, while other continents are perhaps in starvation. That's a very serious thing to contemplate. It's a worldwide catastrophic event, to be sure. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, my name's Luke. I'm calling from Fort Lauderdale.
Yes, sir.
You know, I think that the U.S. and Canada would help the Europeans in this situation.
To what degree do you suppose?
Well, I think they would open the borders, and the Europeans have, you know, treasure like most nations, and they could help finance their migration here.
Well, you have a point there. Yes, you have a point there. The Europeans... certainly are moneyed people, and so they could bring it with them.
They could bring some of it, I'm sure. But what this really brought to my mind is, you know, in the past, droughts and natural occurrences in the climate and such have sparked wars for resources.
Oh, you bet.
And this freeze-over would definitely affect Central Europe and Russia.
Well, even if it happened as quickly as they suggest, say in 10 years, there would be increasing incremental but very fast pressure. Europe would begin to freeze. They would need a very great deal of fuel to keep from dying.
That's right. In this move of ours with Great Britain into Iraq and Afghanistan and around the Caspian Sea area.
Don't suppose that has anything to do with it, do you?
Yes, I do.
Oh, you do?
Actually.
Oh, yes.
And along with other cataclysms that they know are on the way. But one thing that comes to my mind is the prophecy in Ezekiel, where Russia and different tribes, I could go through the biblical names of all of them, but
that's all right.
A lot of those have to do with Central Europe, especially mm-hmm. East Germany, so
oh, yes.
You should include the Germans in this.
Oh, absolutely.
Move into Iran, Iraq, into warmer climates, and a rush for the oil fields.
Well, that's where you get into the good old World War situation. The rush for the oil fields, you see, that's really what it would come down to, wouldn't it? A rush for the oil fields, because everybody would more than ever, in fact, as a matter of life and death, need the oil. And our economy, as a matter of life and death, needs the oil. So as those shrinking resources are met head-on by a worldwide environmental catastrophic event of this magnitude, would you have world war? Well, you'd have the makings, wouldn't you? Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Good evening.
Hello, Art. This is David from Cleveland.
Yes, sir.
Listening on WTAM.
Way to go.
You had a call out for non-human entity contact stories.
That's absolutely correct, yes.
I've been having one continuously for about the past year or so. I'd actually tried to call during one of George Norrie's earlier shows. He had a caller who was a priest, and he felt that he had been visited by a spirit, a succubus, he actually referred to it as.
Yes.
And he had, you know, he prayed, he, you know, called the name of Jesus, and he cast it out.
Yes.
I've actually had a similar experience, but kind of with a different twist, actually.
We lost you. Are you there?
I'm sorry?
Oh, you are there. Go ahead.
Yes. Yeah, I don't know if I've been visited by a similar spirit than he was.
Well, what makes you think you have? What happened to you?
It started with a series of dreams that I started having last January. Actually, they were just on that edge of sleep, just where you're just starting to wake up. You're kind of half aware of the room around you.
Twilight zone, yeah.
Exactly. And the first dream was extremely vivid. I felt her actually come down onto the bed. I could hear the coils in the bed creak. I could feel the sheets rustle. I could actually feel her kind of wrap around me. And it wasn't malicious. There wasn't any, I couldn't feel any ill intent. It was just warm. It was comforting.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, okay, this is an interesting dream. Told my friends about it. Two mm-hmm. weeks later, I have another dream along these lines. 2 weeks later, another dream. It starts to become a pattern. And my friends initially think, okay, maybe he's just imagining things. And 2 or 3 months later, a friend of mine came over and spent the night. And while she actually went to get into my bed, and just as she did, she consciously, she's much more in tune with energies and spirits, she actually felt her sit down on the end of the bed with her. I wasn't even in the room at the time. She went in the sat down on the bed and felt the spirit sit down on the bed with her.
Oh.
She has my spirit, which I've named her Betty.
And then did what when this happened?
It's kind of a strange relationship that she and I have. The spirit that I've
how strange.
She works through me. It's almost a vampiric relationship. Almost. I know it's something of a taboo word, but it's she actually works through me. I help her perform energy feeding, which is actually not a malicious experience. Actually, it's quite a pleasant experience for all involved. But it's there's not enough time to go into all the detail. But you have to understand where I'm coming from with this. I'm an engineer. I've been a science and math person my entire life, and even just as of last year, before these things started happening, I was, you know, I had a lot of friends who were involved with Wicca and with, you know, spirituality and metaphysics, and I would constantly say, I wish that something like this could happen to me. I've never felt anything like this. People say they see energy or they see auras.
There was your mistake. You must be careful what you wish for. And you see, there it happened.
And honestly, this is a wish that I am extremely glad has come true. Because,
well, sir, if you're happy and she's happy, that's all that counts. Happy dreams. And they do sound happy. They sound, although I was only reading it between the words, it all sounded fairly sexual to me. I have a feeling those were the details there wouldn't be enough time to go into, but that's what it sounded like. Good enough. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Good evening, Art.
Good evening, sir.
This is Joe. Calling from the area of WNAX, the Blowtorch in Yankton, South Dakota.
Yankton, South Dakota, yes,
we're
sir.
We're about 120 miles from there. We've had one little dusting of snow all winter.
Oh, you're kidding.
Nope. We're in the wide open spaces. We're in a little house on the prairie area.
Yeah, it ought to be brutal up there.
There has
right
been
now.
One 3-inch snowfall and temperatures between 30 and 40 all winter.
Times are a-changing, sir.
Unbelievable.
Yes.
You've got two guests that you should have back on, Art. Commander Donaldson about Flight 800.
Yes.
And Greg Wynn explaining the true nature of radical fundamental Islam.
All right. Well, of course, we've done that twice, but I would be more than happy to delve into it yet again. As a matter of fact, it'll probably be an eternally returning topic, since that seems to be the state of the world right now. You've got to wonder how such a catastrophic event as the world's weather changing like that would have on terrorism. Would it worsen the situation? Do you think it would worsen it? West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
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 Hi, Art. This is Barry in Tucson, Arizona.
Yes, Barry.
Is this open topic?
Yes.
I wanted to talk about acupuncture and Chinese medicine.
Okay, what about it?
Just a basic thing that I'm an acupuncturist, and it's really tremendous how the Chinese learn to work with the body and work with nature to make the right things that got wronged.
Do you know how unlikely it is that I would allow anybody to stick pins in my body?
And I had to wonder about that because I heard you're in so much pain. It's like, oh, I could probably help him.
But not by sticking pins in me.
Well,
I have a phobia. I know I do about that. I don't like shots. I used to give them in the military and the Air Force.
You'd be surprised how many people have a fear of needles, try acupuncture because their pain is so bad. But what I wanted to do is relate two stories to you about Chinese medicine and how they think.
Okay, very quickly, because we're about out of time here.
Okay, there was one of the valleys in China was getting inundated with respiratory diseases.
Yes.
They determined it was from a wind coming off the mountains.
Yes.
So the Chinese planted 8 million trees to change the wind patterns. Isn't that cool?
That is cool. As a matter of fact, that is cool. And I guess things like that could be done, maybe, with what appears to be coming at the world right now. You know, something to change it all. As I said, maybe that's what the chemtrails are all about. I don't know, but I do know you should read this article, The Coming Ice Age, at coasttocoastam.com right now. Just click on the purple article part, because it's coming pretty quickly.
Sun is shining, it's a beautiful morning.
To talk with Art Bell, call the Wildcard Line at area code 775-727-1295. The first-time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll-free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
It is indeed. What do you think, folks? The great last days of the great planet Earth? Or just a great big nothing? Well, some of the best scientists in the whole world are talking about the first. By the way, if you're here in the Pahrump Valley where I reside, you can listen on KNYE. That would be our radio station. Here in Pahrump, 95.1 FM, or over the hill in Las Vegas at 100.1 FM. Well, if you're in Las Vegas, you might tune around 100.1. FM. See if you can catch us in the middle of the night. International Line, you're on the air. Hi.
Howard.
How you doing?
This is Frank here, talking from Powell River, B.C., listening to you on KEX.
Yes, sir.
In lovely Portland.
Yes.
Weather change. Well, you know, I can't really understand it, because I was listening to George last week, and there was a guest on, and he was saying that the seas are warming up.
The seas are warming up.
Yeah, and that's a fact.
Well, they are changing temperature, yeah. They are indeed changing. You might want to read this article so that you might fully understand what it would mean.
That could be. But how could it be that the seas are the majority of the Earth as far as, you know, as far as material is concerned on the Earth? I mean, the seas are a lot much bigger than the land mass.
Yes.
So the seas are warming up, then it may mean change, that's all.
Yes, it is.
Yeah,
it's going to mean change.
It'll mean overall that the land masses would have to warm up also. Uh-huh. There was somebody also with George a little while ago, and he was saying we're coming to the end of the last ice age at this time.
Uh-huh. Well, you see, I'm reading what Woods Hole is saying right now. I mean, these are the best in the world that are saying this,
okay.
For what it's worth. I mean, you might want to peruse this article and then check back with me, but I appreciate it. You know, a lot of people believe a lot of things, and... that's fine, but you do have to at least give a wink and a nod to the very world's best. You know, Woods Hole is right there at the top, and you just can't ignore what, well, you can ignore what they say, but you better not. That's what I'd say. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
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 Hey, Art. This is Terry from Arkansas.
Hello, Terry.
How you doing?
I'm okay.
I want to tell you, it's an honor to have someone that hosts a radio show that doesn't have a political agenda and is an open-minded person. Honor you for that. On the question you have tonight, if we're here in 20 years, I'm an optimist, but the news in the last few months just gets gloomier and gloomier. And it's one thing or another now. And if we're here in 20 years, I'd be surprised. We'll deal with it then.
I wouldn't say that we won't be here in 20 years, but we could be living under radically different circumstances.
Yes,
it's
sir.
Not going to be that's why I kind of was joking about the, you know, the last days of the great planet Earth.
We'll be living for survival instead of material.
I mean, these could be the days that we'll refer to as the good old days, back when everything was, quote, normal.
Right.
Sort of.
I've got one other little quick point to make.
Yes.
We went to Mars looking for life. We went to the moon. We didn't find life as what we call life as we know it. That's not saying there's not life there.
Nothing.
See what I mean?
What do you mean on Mars?
Yes.
Of course not on the moon. I mean, there's no atmosphere.
Yeah, of course.
But on Mars, we haven't had a good enough look yet to really make any determination about Mars, but no, nothing's walked up to the screen.
Oh, I know that.
Yeah.
But, we look at it as life as humans know it. you know, as humans could exist there.
There is probably some kind of life on Mars, mm-hmm. sir. That's just a fact. If we have a life, and we do, at the bottom of our very deepest oceans, near volcanic venting, the most primordial conditions that one can conceive of, then there could easily be, and likely is, life, perhaps not as we know it, but on Mars, and on other planets, and perhaps even moons. Some moons may harbor life, not necessarily as we know it, as you pointed out. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
My name is Junia. I'm in Tulsa and listen to KFAQ 1170.
Tulsa, Oklahoma. Yes, ma'am.
We haven't had the privilege of having your program for very long, but I sure enjoyed it.
Well, we try to be different.
Oh, yeah. Well, you definitely are.
I mean, you can hear the same old stuff, you know, any old time.
Right. Well, I just wanted to make a quick comment. Personally, I don't think that... we would be that much of a help to Europe if something like that does occur. Because, you know, it's been my experience that the U.S. usually looks out for itself. And if they didn't have a lot that they could bring with them, we wouldn't help them.
Okay. Well, when times get tough, I guess we'd find out how much we are really the world, you know, as they sing about and so forth and so on. Are we really the world? Or would we have to look out for ourselves? I don't know.
Well, if it was up to the people, I think we would. But if it's up, you know, to the government...
Well, you see, ultimately it would be up to the people, because you'd probably have one candidate who believed that we, you know, should heavily invest in helping Europe while it icicled over.
Uh-huh.
And then you'd probably have some other candidate who didn't feel that way at all and took a more nationalistic position. So the people might get to decide something like that.
Well, that's possible. And I have one quick question for you.
Sure.
For those of us who do not have computers, is there any way to write to you? Because there's something that I've wanted to tell you about for a long time, but I would prefer not to do it on the air. But can you have like a I sent one to George Norrie, but I don't know if that's the same address or not.
No, it would not be.
Okay.
I think that we have reactivated our P.O. box. But,
okay.
But I'm not sure about that. So I will check into it, and if indeed we have, I will get that address out on the air.
All right.
Okay.
I'd really appreciate it.
All right, dear.
You'd really want to hear about this. This is really something good.
Well, I mean, you could give me a hint here.
Well, it's a great work that has been given to mankind, but you need to be a serious seeker after truth. And from what I've been able to just gather from listening to you intuitively, I sense that you are a seeker of the truth. And if you really want to know the answers to a lot of the questions you talk about on your program, it's in this work. It really is. I'm not a quack or anything. I mean, really.
What is the work?
It's called In the Light of Truth.
That's some kind of book or pamphlet
or
something?
Yeah, it's a 3-volume work that has been given to mankind by higher sources, and it really...
What higher sources?
Well, you just have to read the...
Well, no. What higher sources? God? Aliens?
No, not aliens. The spiritual sources. It comes from spiritual knowledge. It's been given to mankind.
Well, it had to get on paper. Somebody put it on paper, right?
Well, yeah, they incarnate. I mean, there are higher spirits.
Well, is this channeled material?
No, it is not.
It's not channeled.
No, it is
well,
not.
Well, then how did it get here? Did somebody's cell phone ring or what?
No, the being that incarnated on Earth wrote the book.
Okay, so this is somebody who just... a being that just suddenly was on Earth.
No, incarnated. There's only one way to be born on Earth, and that's...
Okay, so this person who was born is some kind of savior.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. It's just
you wouldn't.
Book.
Okay, all right. Well, all right. We'll see what we can do with an address, and I wish you could have been more specific about your source. Just somebody who, or a spirit which incarnated. Couldn't tell us more. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Hi.
Hey. This is Mike from Cleveland, Ohio.
Hello, Mike.
Talking to you from 1100.
Yes.
About global warming. It's not happening. It's cold up here.
Yeah.
When the weather warms up.
So you're the kind of guy who thinks that because it's cold, which how cold is it in Cleveland, by the way?
About 17 degrees in the teens.
17 degrees.
Yeah.
That is chilly. You see, just because it's 17 right now in Cleveland, you know, there's a bigger picture going on than that. And so I understand that you don't feel real global warming, warm and fuzzy right now.
Not warm and fuzzy at all. I'm cold.
Yeah. But there is a bigger picture out there, buddy.
Really?
Yeah. And you really ought to read this article.
What's the article about?
What is it about, right? It's called The Coming Ice Age, and it's right on the front of the website. Very easy to read. Do you have a computer?
No, I don't have a computer.
You don't have a computer.
I'm behind the times, huh?
All right. I might be forced to read this again. I didn't want to have to read all this again.
All right. Okay, I can stand it.
You say you can stand it, or you can't?
I can stand it.
You can stand it. Well, Woods Hole Oceanographic Institute, as well as most of the rest of the world's really top-notch institutes, think that what's about to happen is that the flow of water in the Atlantic, which keeps Europe warm, is going to stop. Is actually now begun to slow and is going to stop. And when it does, Europe will freeze.
Freeze?
Yes.
It'll be under a big icicle.
A big icicle, yes. And that will have some pretty big impact.
Mm-hmm. How are they going to get their crops and oil?
Right. There you are. How are they going to get their crops and oil? How are they going to eat and stay warm? Well, it's not going to be habitable, you see. It's going to actually take parts of continents and make them uninhabitable.
Really?
Yes. This will have a rather large impact eventually on Cleveland.
I'll be 6 feet under snow.
Well, maybe so, and there are many people who cannot think any further than that gentleman, and that is the current temperature outside. Trust me when I tell you there is a larger picture. Whether it's warm or cool where you are right now, change is inevitable. But change on the scale that's being described here is not the same thing as, gee, it's cold out there in Cleveland right now. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
West of the Rockies?
Yes.
Oh, hello,
yes.
Art. This
Hi.
This is Kyle calling from Vancouver.
Yes, sir.
Washington. And I want to know what you think about the ARRL licensing proposal for ham radio.
Wow, there's a jump in topic. I am a ham operator, as you know. I am W6OBB, Old Broken Bones, and have been since I was like 12.
Yeah.
I think that, and so I'm going to lay it on you, and I want to see what you think, and the rest of the ham world too. I think that the licensing structure they've set up to have three licenses, that's okay.
Yeah, that's great.
And the changes they've proposed are okay. They don't go far enough. The rest of the world right now has eliminated CW as a requirement. I'm not bothered by keeping it as a requirement, 5 words a minute for the extra class license. However, I wish the American Radio Relay League, oh, Lord, please let them become realistic. Any night you care to, sir, I frequent 75 meters a lot. Go down and you see, folks, the ham bands are divided up almost in half, you know, like half for the people who operate with microphones on, you know, like I'm talking to you right now on a microphone, and the other half who use code, da-di-da-di-da-da-di-da, that kind of code, right?
Yeah, right.
And any given night, you might count 5 to 7 contacts going on code, and about a million going on voice. So I wish they would, just like the rest of the world out there, allow everybody to, you know, don't outlaw CW, don't outlaw Zyban. Let everybody operate everywhere with the digital modes and all. Everybody can get along great. Just open the damn bands and let us be like the rest of the world. That would be... So you really provoked me by asking that question.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that would be great.
All right, I got to take a break. Thank you.
All right,
take care. I know that little technical diatribe I just laid on you there meant nothing to most people, but... When provoked, I couldn't resist. I couldn't stop myself. So there you are. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, Art, my name's Greg.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm a technician class ham radio operator as well. And I'd like to be able to talk to you sometime. I wrote down your call letters. And
okay.
Hopefully, I don't have the Morse code in yet, but hopefully someday I'll be able to talk to you.
Well, maybe. What's up?
Yeah, I'm talking about global warming.
Yes.
Yeah, it's going to be really horrible if that happens over there in the United Kingdom and stuff. I mean, what's going to happen to our farmers in the Midwest? Is anything like that supposed to happen here?
It would affect the entire world. The worst effects and the fastest, of course, effects would be on Europe, which would simply freeze. But there would be effects, without question, in Asia. The American Southwest could become a dust bowl for decades. I mean, it could get really, really rough.
Yeah, well, if there's a shortage of food, that's going to be a big problem for everybody.
And the thing is, you see, in this article, they're saying it's already begun, that this current has already begun to slow alarmingly. I mean, they're saying the largest, most dramatic oceanic change ever measured in the era of modern instruments. You know, this, and that's from you, Woods Hole. This is pretty serious stuff, and it's world-changing kind of stuff.
Yes, it is. Well, God knows all the answers. Hopefully he'll take care of us one way or the other.
You think so?
Well, I hope so.
Well, I hope so, too. But, you know, when you glance back at a lot of stuff that happened while God was around, man, oh, man, civilizations came and went, got wiped out, things erupted, and zillions died. And so I guess when you can't say anything else, you can say that.
Yeah, but you are correct, though. There is a lot of wars fought over religion.
Yeah, religion and oil.
Yeah.
I appreciate
it. All right. Thank you very much, Art.
You're very welcome. I appreciate your call. Thank you. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hi.
Steve here in New Jersey.
Hey, Steve.
Just wanted to talk to you about, there's about your music bumpers that you use.
Yes.
I noticed for quite a while, and I think it may be resolved, I haven't noticed it as much lately, that you were only playing, on the air, we were only hearing one channel.
Yeah, that's true of a few of them.
Yeah. Okay. I've been noticing it less lately.
Yes, that's right. Because I recognize it and don't play those that only have one channel.
Okay. Yeah. That's all I wanted to mention. I had noticed it for a while, and I figured you noticed.
Well,
that
no, because you see, I heard both channels in the headset since I've
okay.
got it in stereo. But apparently, somewhere along the line,
on the uplink or something.
Yeah, it gets broken down. So, anyway,
okay.
I appreciate it.
All right.
Take care. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
East of the Rockies?
Yes, you have hum, though.
This is Carl from Cincinnati.
Carl, you have a lot of hum on your line, but what's up?
Well, I wanted to back up your Almost Darwin winner last hour.
On the herd of, are you talking about the herd?
Herd of shadow people,
yes,
yeah.
Yes, yes.
I remember when somebody called in years ago and said that he saw a shadow person, and then immediately... seemed like everybody was calling your radio station with these stories of what they were calling shadow people.
That's right.
And my girlfriend came over just after that, and I told her the story, and I started laughing. I thought, this is so funny, I can't hardly believe it, you know?
Oh, sure, until you see your first one.
Right.
And then it's not quite as hysterical.
She looked at me and stared right at me and said, I've seen them.
Yeah.
And she said, not only, I've seen them around your mother, I've seen them walk around this house, and she says, I've seen small animals too. Uh-huh. Well, anyway, I just read something in the Urantia book, and they were talking about midway creatures.
All right, now listen, we're not going to have time for midway creatures. I appreciate very much your call. However, shadow people are real. Whatever they are, you know, maybe we're over-dramatizing it, but they're real. Whatever they are, they're real.
Call the Wildcard Line at area code 775-727-1295. The First Time Caller Line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from East of the Rockies, call toll free at 800-825-5033. From West of the Rockies, call Art at 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art Bell by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5. And dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Actually, people's reactions to, you know, a story of this magnitude when they read it is interesting all by itself. Charles in Lake Lily, is it? South Carolina says, you know, Art, I think you're placing way too much faith in technology. The greatest climate change in the history of modern instruments presumes the accuracy of our scientific instruments is somehow conclusive, which, as even you must admit, is pure BS. Well, no, actually, I don't. I think our scientific instruments, in terms of, say, measuring the temperature of the current in the Atlantic, probably are pretty good, to be honest with you. Or let's see, John in Toledo says, Art, global warming may be occurring, but very little, if any, of it can be blamed on human activity. You know, I'm at the stage, and I have been for a while, where I don't think it matters whether it's human activity or whether it's just a cyclic change, you know, every 13,000 X number of years. What difference does it make if our scientists, if you read this article, it's what it says, if our scientists are detecting that there's a massive change in the current in the Atlantic, then it's already underway, and there's nothing we can do about it. So we should stop arguing about whether the human hand has meaning in all of this or not, or whether it's simply cyclic. The fact that it's occurring means that we should be concentrating our efforts on what we're going to do about it. Back now. now to the chilly waters, the unknown waters of on-screen calls. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
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 Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing.
I was reading the article that you mentioned earlier about the climate changes due to the Gulf Stream possibly being shut off.
Yes.
And I was wondering, and I couldn't find any information on the site, just what type of effect this would have on the North American continent, and in particular the United States.
Actually, if you did read all of it, it did mention the American Southwest, I believe.
Yeah, something about the
drought.
Drought, yeah.
Yes.
But, I mean, it wasn't really specific. I mean, you know, it didn't really cover most of the United States.
It did sound like, by comparison, the rest of the United States would suffer virtually, you know, well, it didn't say anything, so I would presume it wouldn't suffer very much. That would make at least two-thirds of the U.S. okay, but that's still no small matter. I mean,
right, right, and that's a presumption, you know, because they didn't say anything about it doesn't really mean that they're, you know,
for example, sir, California is what, 20% of the U.S. economy.
True.
So if the entire West got in trouble, well, we'd be in trouble.
No, yeah. We're in trouble already with globalization and jobs being exported overseas and stuff like that. You know, and that's another thing. How would that affect the globalization, the economy?
I toss everything up into the air. I mean, there would be, how would it affect immigration? I would think Europe would come pouring across our borders as fast as they could. Asia would be in trouble.
That's how we got here in the first place, isn't it?
It's hard. It's really hard to even calculate how big a disruption this would be and what we would do. What do you think we'd do?
I don't know. You know, since something like this hasn't happened in, what, 12,000 years?
Right.
You know,
We have no precedent.
Yeah, that you couldn't really imagine what the reaction would be.
Well,
you know,
I wonder about our own, you know, our own government, what they would, how they'd react. I guess in the beginning stages, we'd probably treat it, you know, as sort of a, we probably wouldn't believe it. And for a while we would give aid, but there would come a time when we would be totally overwhelmed. I mean, you just can't take out a continent like that. I just can't imagine.
Oh, it's, well, being that with the immigration from the African continent and the Middle East into Europe right now, then you're going to have all those people to deal with, too. You know, because there's massive immigration going on right now into Europe.
And the energy issues during all of this disruption, holy mackerel.
Well, it might bring back the coal industry here in Illinois, huh?
Every last bit of it, I'm sure. Yeah.
Well, I was just wondering, you know, because I didn't read anything specific about what the effects would be on the North American continent, other than what you mentioned.
Yes, that's right. No, otherwise it doesn't mention anything. But, I mean, it would be the whole world.
Right. Well, I'd be interested to, you know, hear or see a follow-up on, you know, with more specific data as to what the global effects would be, not just the effects there in Northern Europe.
Well, I'm sure as others pick this up now, there'll be a lot of interviews. I just can't imagine a story of this magnitude with this kind of heavyweight scientific stuff behind it wouldn't get picked up by the big networks. But maybe we ought to make a bet on that. You think,
okay.
What do you think? Do you think ABC, NBC, CBS, and even CNN will pick it up?
You know, it's 50-50. It depends on what's more important to them.
Well, Michael Jackson, of course.
Well, Matt, I don't, you know, I'm not in there.
I appreciate your call, sir.
All right, thank you.
Right, take care. Oh, gee. You do have to wonder a little bit, and this will be instructive in terms of watching how the American media either does deal with this or doesn't deal with it at all. It is a big story. The scientific names are unimpeachable, really, and they almost have to talk about it, but will they? Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, Art?
Yes.
Yeah. This is Esther from New York, and I'm listening on WABC, and I wish we were on seven days a week, but
77.
I'm here now. A couple of years ago, I read an article in the Reader's Digest called The Only Way Out, and it was about a man escaping from East Berlin, and ever since then, I've always felt that to every problem, there has to be a way out. So I was sitting here thinking, and I thought of four ideas. I don't know how good these are, but I will give them to you.
Okay.
The first thing is to send ships to the place where the Gulf Stream is to keep churning the waters. The second thing is that South America and Central America should also open its borders. The third thing is we should send underground places where people can live because there may be overpopulation. This would not work if there was a global warming, but if we have global cooling, it might work. And the fourth idea is that since we hopefully have 10 years on this, that we should work on spaceships so we could colonize other planets to escape from what's happening. So those are my four ideas. I don't know how good they are.
Well, at least they're ideas.
Yeah.
And a lot more people are going to have to start thinking of things. I'm not sure you could stir the current enough with ships, so I'm not sure about that one. The underground facilities, well, maybe in some parts of the world, if they were to begin now, that might be some kind of option. But, I mean, what kind of life could it be under there?
Well, better than no life.
No life at all?
The Soviet Union did have a lot of air shelters for its citizens, you know, during the Cold War, so...
Mostly those would have been for the military and party elite.
Oh, well, we can still help with people here.
Well, anyway, at least you're thinking. That's good.
Thank you.
Thank you, and take care. At least she's thinking about it. This is it's hard to get people to consider. It really is, even though here it is in bold print for you to read. And again, if you're just joining the program, your best bet by a country mile would be to go and read the article that I have up there for you. It's a remarkable article. It's at the top of the website. It came out, well, I don't know, within an hour, actually, of my going on the air tonight. The headline is Global Warming Will Plunge Britain into New Ice Age Within Decades. And it kind of gets worse from there. I mean, this really is a scary article. And the scientists in it are world-renowned scientists. You need to read the article. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
This is Morris from Maine.
Morris from Maine.
Yes.
Welcome.
Yeah, I got a couple things to talk about. First, to start with the ocean. Mm-hmm. We have the Gulf Stream that comes up and... Mm-hmm. Just skins the coast of Maine.
Yes.
And it makes it enough so you can go swimming. Cold, but bearable.
Right.
And we had Canadians coming down and all to go swimming down there. It's in Orchard Beach. Right about the beginning of August, at the hottest time of the season, the water became so cold, nobody went in.
Well,
and the beaches were packed.
That's a very interesting report.
Yeah.
You know, that's not the only report like this. In fact, there was a report about a similar area, I believe, off the coast of North Carolina, and yet another story off the coast of Florida somewhere, of all of a sudden these shockingly cold, and I really mean, you're right when you say it. Ice cold water where there should have been entirely tolerable water to swim in, and I'm talking about ice cold.
Yeah.
Really freaky story. So you actually experienced it?
Oh, yes, I did. And I live more inland, mountain area.
Mm-hmm.
We've had 41 inches of snow in one storm,
mm-hmm.
and we had 40 degree below zero in one evening. All our pipes froze.
Yes.
I got something else to talk about.
Yes, sir.
Questions to the audience. Maybe they can call in and see if I can relate with them. First of all, I know of a few people that have been abducted. And we all have a stamp on our shoulder or just behind the neck.
You have such a stamp?
The size of a quarter.
Really?
It's a series of dots all perpendicular with each other, probably 1/16 of an inch apart.
And are you saying that all abductees or most have?
No, I know of three people. I haven't really investigated that much yet.
Well, maybe there's one particular craft that abducts in your particular geographic area, and they brand their abductees.
That's what I'm thinking. Another thing that's happened, we just moved out here. There's a, what do you call, a radar site, government. And we'd hang out there at night listening to your show. One night we lost about an hour and a half. The kid in the back seat said there was something behind the truck. And I looked in my mirror, and I saw some type of shadow. I looked behind the truck, nothing's there. I says, wow, this is weird. I says, just open the doors up, heck with it. And we lost like an hour, 20 minutes or so. And we all three ended up with an injection. And the injection site was a big bump with a bruise around it.
Well, then you were probably abducted.
Yep. And I got one other thing to talk about. We call it the Lugaroo.
The what?
The Lugaroo.
What's that?
Teachers have seen it. Kids all over see it. They say it lived under a bridge when I was living in Green. Okay, now I moved, 100 miles north. And yet, there's still some there.
What is it?
Well, from what the kids say, it's hairy, long hair, long arms, about 4 feet tall. It's very fast. It has run along the side of a car at 50 miles an hour. Excuse me, I have a bad cold.
I can hear it. It runs
this
along.
This thing's incredible. I can call it. You can hear it between 3 and 4 in the morning. You can hear it more places where there's more homes, and I'm talking suburbs. It makes a call. If I call it, it comes. Not directly to me. Sometimes I go to my neighbor's house and scare the wits out of them.
Why would you call such a thing?
Oh, they make a call, so I try calling, and they come.
Hmm.
So I had this industrial photographer come by once with a camera.
Don't tell me. You got a picture of it.
Well, now this is a video with night vision and the new technology to look through like walls.
Are you going
it's
to...
illegal.
Well, yes, I would imagine.
Yeah, I'm not going to say his name.
People really hate the thought that you're looking at the walls.
We got one clip of one of these, and all they had was a silhouette. But this one was as high as the window on my trailer, which is about 8 feet.
Send me a copy.
I'd like to.
Mm-hmm. Do that. Send me a copy.
This summer I'm going to be doing a lot of investigating. I'm getting equipment, and I'm...
All right. Well, obviously, sir. Anything like that? Any of you? Anybody with video or photographs of a what appears to be a non-human entity of some sort? By all means, get it to me right now. The most convenient way to do so is by email at either one of my two email addresses: artbell@mindspring.com or artbell@aol.com. They're both good. ARTBELL, lowercase all. At mindspring.com or AOL.com. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Yes, sir.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Rick in Reno, 780 KOH.
Yes, sir.
Been listening for a quarter of a century at least. KDON, KDWN 720.
Yes.
And I'd like to speak about a 9/11 case, 911.
Mm-hmm.
Former Deputy Attorney General of Pennsylvania Philip J. Berg is suing the Bush administration on behalf of his client, Ellen Mariani. And the website, if I may?
No, I'd rather you don't. I don't allow websites to be given out on the air because of bad previous experience.
Well, folks have access to search engines, and I've given the key names.
There you go. So,
very good.
That's it?
That's it.
Okay, see you later.
You.
That's right, people have search engines. International Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Hi.
This is Kyle calling from London, Ontario.
Hey, Kyle.
I'd love to share my encounter with a non-human entity.
Share.
Okay, this is about the spring of 2001. I was lying in bed late in the evening, past 12 midnight, with the lights on, and I opened my eyes to see a solid figure standing in my doorway, about 5 to 6 feet tall, in a long black gown, like a graduation kind of gown, look like.
Yes.
It had this mask on, with like two vertical horns. And
two vertical horns.
Yeah.
Now see, right away, horns are bad.
Yeah.
Horns are really bad.
It was very ominous.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, that would be. That would be that. That would that would say to any human being, devil, evil,
yes,
foreboding, bad.
Bad, bad.
Bad juju.
So this thing appeared to me long enough that I could see it, and it vanished. So I closed my eyes. I opened my eyes again. It was there again for a second and a half. So this occurred about five times.
Yes. Well, usually when you close your eyes and or go under the covers, by then it's gone. But this was still there, bad again.
Reappeared about five times.
And very bad.
So then I just fell asleep. And, you know, I didn't get a bad, disturbing feeling from this entity at all.
Yes, but you see that is so hard to buy. I mean, if I saw something with horns in my door, falling asleep would not be anything that would happen before the sun came up. I'm serious. If I saw something with horns, I mean, how can you just fall asleep after that?
I don't know how I did it, but I'll tell you, to this day, I still sleep with the lights on.
Well, and but I'd be thinking I'm going to lose all my blood while I'm asleep. Or something similar to that. I mean, there's no way the average person in my mind could sleep after that. Oh, well, the horn thing's gone. Oh, good. Well, go to sleep now.
I don't know how I did it. To append my story, I did some short research on it, and I've identified this being as being called a Skywatcher.
A Skywatcher.
Yeah, an entity that, you know, Peter Gabriel of the band Genesis used to dress up as this being, and he's actually seen on the cover of the album Genesis Live dressed up as this being, so that's kind of a reference point for any audience members to see exactly what I saw.
It looked exactly like on that album, huh?
Exactly like, well, actually, no, the...
Or close enough.
Close enough.
All right, good enough. Thank you very much. Another encounter with something non-human from the high desert in the middle of the night. I'm Art Bell.
To access the audio archives of Coast to Coast AM, log on to coasttocoastam.com. Talk with Art Bell. Call the Wildcard Line at area code 775-727-1295. The first time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5. And dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Rocking the nighttime with some of the news you might not catch on ABC or NBC or CBS or CNN or anything else. Imagine sort of moving along out there in an 18-wheeler at about 65 miles an hour or so in the middle of the night, dark out there, and you're listening to this stuff on the radio? Huh. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi.
Hello there.
My name is Daniel. I'm from Bernalillo, New Mexico.
All right, Daniel.
I have a comment about the Gulf Stream.
Yes, sir.
It's only part of a very large current that runs in the ocean.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it... If you shut off the Gulf Stream, which is about what's going to happen, you shut off the rest of these currents as well. It brings cold water up to the equators in the Pacific.
A chain of events would begin, and it would happen. They used to think slowly, but now, of course, we know it can happen virtually overnight, in even less than 10 years. It could, well, there's a quote in here. You know, the one scientist says, like that, like throwing a switch, and... Once it's thrown, events are going to occur. There's nothing we can do to stop them. We can perhaps move our crop growing somewhere else and try and do things that'll help the human race along, but there's not a hell of a lot we can do to stop it.
Well, not only that, it's going to put the world in enough turmoil at the same time that it's going to be difficult for one nation to help another because they're going to be busy helping themselves.
That's exactly the point I was trying to get people to think about at the beginning of the program.
We're going to have to invest a good bit of technology, probably, if they won't do that until this happens. And, of course, New England is likely to be part of a glacier as well as part of Europe.
Well, I don't know. Certainly there could be some pretty big changes in very northern New England, I would think, yes.
And we could have a breadbasket that's not producing bread anymore.
Well, yes, that could occur, too. I mean, the scale of what would happen is almost... You know, it's so unthinkable for us. Maybe that's why most people, I don't know, they almost want their head in the sand about this. They don't even want to think about it. It's just it's too much.
Yeah, we're definitely going to have to make some adaptations, and it's going to be a worldwide type of adaptation. So there's going to be some terrible disruptions. I believe that it's going to disrupt life as we know it today, for sure. I mean, we're not going to have... the social order that we believe we have right now.
I can't imagine that would hold up. Not under that kind of immense worldwide pressure, it would crack.
Yeah. The idea of sitting down and watching TV and seeing a sports game may be out of the question at this period of time.
Yes. Our entire understanding of life as it is right now, in 10 years, it's hard to think of it. You know, it's hard to think of it, but in 10 years or less, it could all be gone, and these would be what would be taught in the history books as good old days, you know, before it happened.
Yeah, well, I remember some of the good old days of the past, and they weren't so good old. And so, I don't know. Like I said, it's going to be the lucky few, and a lot of adaptation all at the same time. Basically, we're going to have to learn to help ourselves.
Well, then a lot of people are in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, I
appreciate your call, sir. Thank you. And take care. Yeah, that's somebody who's thinking about it. Do you think things could get bad enough that in areas it would simply return to the law of the jungle? Or would it, in a more modern day, be more like a sort of a Mad Max scenario? A wildcard line, you are on the air. Good evening.
Good morning, Arville. How are you?
Hey, actually, morning, right. Yes, I'm fine.
Yeah, well, this is John. I'm over in California City, California.
Yes, John.
Right on the hill up over Edwards Air Force Base.
Yes, sir.
Actually, before I get into that real quick, I just wanted to say, you know, I can't remember if it was you or George who said, who reported about 25% of the world's species being gone.
That would have been me.
Well, it's interesting how these things tie in together.
Yes, in a disturbing way, it is, I suppose. If you had, of course, a climate change at the pace they're talking about here, it might be a lot more than a quarter of the species.
Yeah, that's true. Anyway, I've been working out here. I'm a security guard out here out in California City, and I sit up on this hill, and I'm like 6 miles away from the main runway over at Edwards Air Force Base.
Interesting duty. What do you get to see?
Oh, I get to see a lot of stuff, and what's interesting about it is there's been a lot of activity going on over there within the past couple weeks, especially a lot of F-117 activity. They've been loading up bombs and whatnot, and actually just last night they loaded up three squadrons, which are like three of three, three groups of three, and they took off about 2 o'clock in the morning. And normally you can watch them unload stuff if they're just doing practice runs and stuff like that. But when they came back, they were empty. They didn't unload anything.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Gee, no, now where do you suppose those bombs might be?
That's what I thought was interesting. They've been loading up a lot of cargo planes and a lot of just stuff that's all covered. But there's a lot of activity going on over there for some reason.
Well, something's going on. I mean, of course, the war in Iraq's going on. All right, thank you very much. What to make of that? Well, there is a lot of activity going on. I wonder, again, I'll go back with respect, for example, to this article. I wonder how much the governments know and have discussed privately amongst themselves that we don't yet know. Or are just finding out about. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Mitzi in Virginia.
Welcome.
Thank you. You just mentioned how much does the government know. I think Dick Cheney probably knows, at least with his rattling the windows and his utility upgrades in Washington, D.C. I was curious. When you mentioned that this climate, this change was going to happen so quickly, it reminded me of something I'd heard earlier, that we're about due for another shift in polarity, that the poles need to change pretty soon.
That could happen. The magnetic north has been wandering. It's very, very interesting. I think the magnetic pole is headed for, like, Western Canada or something.
I was wondering if maybe that has an effect on the current, or the current may have an effect on that. I don't know if there's a correlation there or anything, but I thought it might be.
Yep, I don't
know. A symptom or something.
I do not know.
Also, I have an incubus story.
Oh?
Yeah, it's true, and I know it's true because my friend had the same experience the day after I did. I woke up with this Max Schreck thing on my back. I didn't actually see it, but I knew it was there.
This what thing?
It looked like Max Schreck and Nosferatu.
Yeah, okay.
But I couldn't actually see it, but I knew it was there, and it squeaked my I cover my eyes because the sun comes in.
Yeah.
This little eye mask, and it squeaked the band on that, and I just kind of screamed, and it disappeared. And the next day, the day previous to that, my friend over in England had a similar experience with something like that. And they call it hypnagogic hallucinations. The scientists have a name for it, but I don't think it covers the experience at all. It's very...
And what is it you think was on your back?
I think it was a malicious spirit of some kind of...
And what do you think
demon.
Would have happened to you had you not been alert?
It probably would have come back, or if I hadn't become conscious, it was like a deep down instinct to get it off,
mm-hmm.
you know, to make it leave, and I just kind of...
But I mean, what do you think it would have done to you had you not made it leave?
Probably something sexual, or mess with my spirit, break my spirit in some way, I'm not sure, but...
Nothing good either way.
No, it was a deep down need to get rid of it quickly, and the same was true for my friend in England, which... You know, if we do get this ice age, I'll invite him over to my house. Whether the government wants it or not, he'll come and stay with me.
All right, thanks.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, see you later. Yes. There are so many things in our world that we feel and know and experience personally. And we tell others about them, as this young lady just did. And I know it's interesting and easy to sit out there and either laugh or sneer, but not once it happens to you. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Hi, how's it going?
Fine. And great. It sounds like you're chuckling on your end, so it must be going well.
That.
That's quite all right.
I was calling on both the spiritual seen entities and also about the topic of the Ice Age.
Yes.
I have known and felt for many years, I'd say at least the last 7 or 8 years, that global warming would basically bring about an ice age with just common knowledge. I mean, intuitive knowledge, just knowing. I think that it's very possible that we're going to see this in the next 7-8 years.
I do too.
And
I can actually feel it. I for some time I've felt it. So I will say I was shocked by reading this story, but only because it reminded me of what I already knew in sort of a, you know, it's kind of like, you know, you're sick. You know something is tragically wrong with you, and you go and you sit down in front of the doctor, and he says, I've got bad news for you, you know, right there. Kind of that point.
Yeah, that's pretty much how I feel about the topic tonight and what I read from the website.
Yes.
It's basically something that I think is you reap what you sow kind of thing on a mental level, on a super conscious level of the topics that you guys have been having.
Yes.
It's basically, you know, your predictions that you did, all the negativity, and it's kind of what people want, I think.
Boy, it was a negative prediction year, I'll tell you.
And
I took a lot of them, too, a pretty good-sized sample, and it was not good.
And then on the spiritual level, I've also always been a very positive person. I try to look at the bright side of things, no matter how bad they are. And I think that...
All right, then you'd be really good. Then what's the bright side of this article?
Well, the bright side is that it's going to quiet the earth. It's going to quiet down the crying and whining. And it's going to take the people that want to survive. The people that want to survive will survive. And the people that want to worry and scurry along and fight for food and...
So we could think of it as the Grand Darwin Challenge.
That's an excellent way of putting it. That's exactly how I put it. And then I have a question for the listeners.
See, we can actually laugh about everything, folks.
It's a beautiful world. Just wake up.
Yeah.
the thing also that I wanted to ask the listeners is that I had an experience last year on a camping trip with a few of my friends where it's hard to explain. I wasn't exactly channeling or having something speak through me. I felt as though I was speaking for myself.
Yes.
But I called myself the line.
I'm sorry, what?
The line.
The
line. As in like I'm drawing the line in the sand.
Really?
Yeah, and the experience was very strange. And I'm just wondering if there's anybody else out there that maybe have had that experience where they have called themselves the circle or the line, because there was also another friend there that called himself the circle. And I'm not into witchcraft. I'm not into any of these things. I'm just a very spiritual, happy-go-lucky person.
And just you and your happy-go-lucky partner decided to call each other the line and the circle?
Well, actually, I just met this guy. He came out on the camping trip, and he was a friend of one of my friends.
And you said, hi, I'm the line, and he said, glad to meet you, I'm the circle.
Actually, it was in the middle of the night around the campfire, and I started, you know, pretty much doing the thing that I wish people wouldn't do, which was crying and feeling sorry for the earth and saying, why are people so greedy, and why are people so selfish, and why don't they just open their minds?
So you were wallowing in world pity.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And I don't do it very often. And I said, I'm the line. And I said, this is going to stop here. This is going to stop now. And who knows, maybe my conscious thought is helping, you know, the unfortunate happenings to come about.
Perhaps so. And maybe the thing that we discussed last night. Do you remember I once said that the only circumstance under which I would consider the use of this power, whatever it is, this mass consciousness thing, that we've discovered basically on this program, thank you very much, would be something as catastrophic, perhaps, as what's being described in this article. And I'm not saying right now to you that I'm advocating its use for that, but this would be in the class that I would consider it for. I mean, at some point, what have you got to lose? And if something this catastrophic is really on the way, then it may be in order that a worldwide effort at changing it would be in order. Hi, International Line, you're on the air.
Hi, Mr. Bell. It's Sheila calling from Ontario.
Hello, Ontario.
It's very
Sheila.
Cold here.
Is it?
Yes. Oh, I'm listening to CJBK 1290.
Well, good.
I wanted to comment on the weather conditions, and I'm wondering, probably a lot of people like myself are meditating on healing the earth.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if this is part of the healing. Are we...
Well, yeah, you see. Ah, bingo, my dear.
You know what I mean? Like,
yes, I do.
You be careful see, what you wish for.
Well, yes, 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 yes. One might wish for the healing of the earth, but that very process, for example, might mean wiping half of it out first.
Exactly, exactly. We are so unkind.
That's what I mean about this power. And us. I was telling my guest last night, not fully comprehending the... quote, laws of nature.
Oh, exactly. I was right with you when you were saying that you were afraid to use it.
Well, yeah, because we don't understand the laws of nature, whatever
exactly.
they may be.
Exactly. I also have a comment about something you said previously.
Oh?
You were talking about whether people would stick their head in the sand or whatever.
Oh,
and
many will.
Well, I just wanted to say I remember... rather infamous radio show host a few weeks ago saying he would rather stick his head in the sand and die twitching than give up beef.
Yes, that would have been that would have been me.
Yeah,
that would have been me. That's quite true.
You can understand how people would rather just sort of I don't want to know. I'm just going to carry on.
Oh, you mean my eating continual eating of burgers? Yes. Oh, yes, yes, yes. It's
I
true.
Laughed my butt off when I heard that. I really did, because I like beef, too.
Oh, it would be the end of life as we know it.
Well, there's organic, and I'm thinking
oh,
about going
baloney.
The organic.
You know what? I lived in Japan for a lot of years, and you know what they've got over there that'll really make you sick?
What?
They've got burgers, and they've even got, like, you look in a shop, and they've got chocolate cake, right?
Yes.
Oh, my God, does it look good? It looks like the best chocolate cake with chocolate frosting. It looks delicious. And they always put them in the windows in Japan. That's how they do it. And so you go and you get a piece of it, you know, and they put it on a plate for you, and you go out and you eat it, and you bite into this chocolate cake, and you know what it is?
It's fake.
It's soy.
Yeah.
It's soy. And your mouth is ready for chocolate, and you got soy. And yuck.
I also love chocolate.
Well, try and imagine having your mouth and your taste buds and your tongue ready for chocolate, and you bite down, and it's soy.
I think I'd hurl.
Exactly. Exactly, and so...
But organic is actually supposed to taste better, like meat used to taste, supposedly. I'm not talking about soy. I'm talking about organically grain-fed beef that are slaughtered nicely and aren't fed, you know, byproducts and feces,
yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not giving up burgers.
Nor am I.
But I don't want to die twitching either.
Well, look, obviously I was dramatically exaggerating. I suppose if, you know, something really awful happened and beef really became unedible, then life would go on. It just wouldn't be the same anymore.
No, it would not. I agree.
Restaurants would change. The entire restaurant experience would change.
We'd all live longer, and we'd overpopulate even more.
We'd do nothing but sit around and eat lima beans and peas and scowl at each other.
Yeah.
All right. Well, look, I got to go. We're at the top of the hour.
Thank you very much. You have a good morning.
Good, and very same to you. Lima beans, the foulest vegetable on earth. The texture, the smell, the very sight, the color. Everything about a lima bean is foul. Could the world be reduced to lima beans and peas and stuff like that? Not my world.
To talk with Art Bell, call the Wildcard line at area code 775-727-1295. The first-time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll-free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call Art at 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art Bell by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Sometimes you're just in a Layla kind of mood. That, it is a kind of mood. This music, you just kind of close your eyes and roll with it a little bit, sort of just creates a mood all of its own. The Layla mood. We'll be right back. Well, this is sweet. Stephen in Wellfleet, Massachusetts, says, "Hey, Art, Art Bell, I can only hope it gets as cold in Nevada where you are as it is here in New England. Sincerely, Stephen." Well, it's cold here now. Laugh as you will, but it's currently 26.2 degrees, and that's pretty chilly for the desert. Even for the desert, pretty chilly. Thanks, Stephen. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, this is Doug. I'm calling from Canada on Vancouver Island.
Hello, Doug.
I listen on CFAX 1070 in Victoria. But
of course. Yeah,
that's where we are. What I think is happening, and I think I read somewhere, either Scientific American or I saw it on PBS, that the Earth's magnetic field is reversing itself slowly. And we're in the process of that transition, and it's happened, you know, time after time, but this is the first time we're probably going to be able to experience it. And
well, the magnetic pole is wandering, but there's no sign yet that it's going to flip. That would be very unsettling and would bring with it a lot of undesirable things.
Because some scientists have said that the because it's slowing down, the whole magnetosphere is slowing down, that things are happening, you know, like with the poles, the ozone layers, and I think, you know, the solar activity, the increased solar activity, we're seeing more of it, I guess, bombard Earth because the magnetosphere can't protect us like it used to.
Well, I don't know.
Until it reverses itself.
You know, it could be any of this. I mean, let's face it, we don't really understand all the dynamics at work here by even a little. I mean, we really don't. We don't understand what's driving our climate change. Not really. Hand of man, normal cycles, planetary influences, volcanoes, who the hell knows? But it's happening.
Well, there's a fossilized record even in northern Canada where there's tropical fossils.
Absolutely.
You know,
yeah,
and so it's happened over and over again.
Over and over again. Now there's quite a bit of evidence, if you read this article, that it's happening now.
Yeah.
That we're about to go through the throw the switch phase, and boom, it's going to change like that.
And that throwing of the switch phase reminded me of a study of rocks, magnetic, during the last, I guess.
I'll tell you one thing for sure, though.
Full reversal.
Yeah.
That it happened virtually, you know, within months.
Millions of years from now, they will not dig up Art Bell frozen in place with lima beans in his mouth. I guarantee you.
No.
But yes, anyway, it's happening, and I don't know, we're going to have to adapt, you know, we're humans, and we need to use our intelligence to recognize what's going on and adapt. Otherwise, I guess we don't deserve to continue.
Well, that's called evolution. So.
Yes. So that's what I've been calling for, whether it's the hand of man or just cycles or whatever is driving this, since we don't fully, I think we agree, understand the dynamics at work here. And if we do, it's to a small degree, but it is occurring, and so we must prepare. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Mr. Bell?
That would be me.
Yes. It's Tom from the Bronx here.
Hey, Tom.
Yeah, and I have this to say, that I have a wild theory that maybe in this magnetism, like a planet like Mars, maybe the magnetism goes out that far, you know, and maybe we'll be sucked up for where Mars is, and Mars may come down to where we are in our orbit, and they'll come to life, and we'll go cold dead.
That would be unpleasant. Now, why would you think that the orbits of Mars and the Earth would reverse themselves?
Well, maybe it has to do with magnetism. Maybe it happens with all the planets.
Well, but it doesn't seem to. We watch them on a regular basis, and they rarely swap places relative to what they're in orbit about.
But have they swapped places?
Well, you know, I mean, something happened to Mars, I can give you that. I mean, you've been millions of years ago. Yes, Mars had an atmosphere and water and all the rest of that sort of thing, we now know. So something very, very drastic occurred on Mars. I mean, even more drastic than we're contemplating might occur in this article, bad as it is. We're talking about an entire planetary atmosphere being stripped. The water, if it exists now, only underground. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Mr.
Hi.
Bell?
Yes.
Yes. My name is Gloria. I'm calling from Milwaukee.
Gloria.
Yes. Now, I wanted to ask you, a few months ago, they were discussing this on Mr. Norrie's show, that they sent a Galilean space probe with 48 pounds of plutonium to crash into Jupiter.
Yes.
Now, that sounds very dangerous to be tampering
only
with the planet.
Only if you're walking around on Jupiter.
What was the purpose?
And then if it were to come down on you, it would be very dangerous.
Well, what was the purpose of it?
Well, basically, they just allowed it to disperse in Jupiter's atmosphere.
Well, I
know there were those who said that as in 2010, there would be some monstrous explosion and another sun would be born,
well,
right?
If I may say one last thing, please.
And wasn't that right?
Yes, you're right. Yes. I appreciate it. It says five places in the Bible, even Christ said it, that there's going to be a tribulation period, but the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars that fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken before the Lord appears. And I think this is dangerous to be tampering with the planets. It's like building it says that, by the way, five places in the Bible. Peter said it. It's in the book of Revelation. It's in the Old Testament. Joel, the prophet, said it, and I believe Isaiah said it, too.
Mm.
And I think it's very dangerous to be tampering with the... it's like building a Tower of Babel.
Well, I'm not so sure that we can tamper with it. It may be way beyond our ability to tamper. There are many things we can tamper with, but the dynamics that are driving all of this, I think, are probably beyond us. But what do I know? Maybe they have some secret Tesla technology that will pull our fat out of the fire. I rather doubt that. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art. How you doing?
I'm doing okay.
You don't like Lino beams, huh?
Oh, no. Not at all.
This one worse is called wax beams.
You know, we had a rule in our house that you never got to dessert unless you cleaned up everything on your plate, so I used to eat those damn things. You know how I did it? I had a glass of milk, right, at every meal, of course, and so I would eat like one lima bean at a time and wash it down with milk like a pill. You know, I'd never chew it.
Can't blame you there.
It was good dessert.
It's the Randall up in Reno.
Yes, sir.
Thinking, instead of everybody worrying about what's going to happen, if it does turn out very badly for us, why don't we think of now doing some hydroponic farming, vacuum sealing food supplies?
Those are some good ideas.
And I would think that we would live a lot longer, those who do survive, if we did do these things, and we think about it now instead of when it's last minute.
Well, you know, if this is, I mean, these are really good scientists announcing all of this. Now, if this is true, you would think that this would be a worldwide story, and there would be immediate international action to do something about all of this, as in getting ourselves ready for it. That's what I mean when I say do something. So what do you think? Will that happen, or will this story be buried like some little tiny story on page 94 of the New York whatever.
Well, I believe that the government's got a lot of suppression on the news agencies these days, and I don't think they're going to let a story like that loose. You know, they're afraid of mass hysteria.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a couple of questions as well. I was wondering if you might go to the Nexus concert convention over in Amsterdam.
Whether I might go to Amsterdam? Well, it sounds like a fun trip, but...
John Rappaport's supposed to be there this year.
Amsterdam actually sounds like fun.
It does. I'm thinking about going myself. It's in March 27th, 28th. And a final question, a little bit of humor on the humorous side. What do you think all the millionaires are going to do without all their luxuries and fancy automobiles if this happens?
Well, I wonder, okay, thank you. It makes me wonder about the whole social setup and how, you know, whether the rich, for example, will be able to insulate themselves in some way, perhaps in some parts of the world. Or whether it will get to a point where money doesn't really mean anything, or how far something like this could... Certainly it would be disruptive to the entire world's economy. I mean, the implications of Europe freezing are pretty severe when you think about it. If you really sit down and give this a little bit of thought, what they're suggesting is probably about to occur here, or already has begun, would change everything we know about the world. Everything. In every one of those towns that you're in, even if you didn't sound like you were in the immediately affected area, international line, you're on the air.
Yes, Sarge.
Hello.
Second time in 17 years I got through. Anyway, we wanted to talk about this effect with regards to the Gulf Stream.
Yes.
Right away I thought that there must be something very active happening in the deep parts of our planet to have some kind of effect like this. And then when you mentioned, or another person on the program later mentioned, the magnetic field shifting, that kind of confirmed the feeling that I had that we've got some big stuff happening deep down there.
Well, now, wait a minute. Our magnetic field has been oscillating, and it does normally. It's oscillated an awful lot more than normal. It really has.
That's what I meant, yeah.
But it hasn't flipped, and there's a big difference.
No, I didn't say flip. It shifted. But the second thing I wanted to mention very quickly was I read a really good article by Whitley Strieber on UFO secrecy in a brand new magazine called Phenomena, which I picked up the November-December issue, first issue, and it was a wonderful article, and I wanted to mention that to people because it's a new magazine, and it was by Whitley, and I very, very much enjoyed it, and it was quite frank and straightforward about this UFO secret policy that both the U.S. and other governments have.
All right, sir. Well, I appreciate the call and the plug for Whitley and apparently the new magazine. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Yes.
Well, you know, there's a flip side to, you know, having glaciers come down to the Northern California border.
Oh, what would that be?
Well, the flip side is that places like the African Sahara and the Middle East will turn more temperate and actually become breadbaskets.
Well, Well, so, okay, that would mean that the Middle East then not only would have most of the world's remaining oil reserves, but they'd have the food, too. Now, let me think about whether that's cool.
And is that biblically important?
Well, again, let me think about whether that's cool from America's point of view. Probably not, sir.
Probably not as good. You know, but the Canadians live with a lot of snow. I think we could do it.
You think so?
Yeah, I think we could.
Well, again, though, something this disruptive to the rest of the world would have a gigantic impact on the U.S.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if we'd remain a world superpower.
Well, maybe we would. And now, why do I say that? Well, because an earlier caller was right, and... You know, one of the unaffected areas is, or would seem to be, by lack of mention, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but they did mention the American West and Southwest areas would go into a severe drought, but that's not nearly so dramatic or serious as what would happen in Europe and apparently Asia and other parts of the world. So that would leave a good two-thirds of the U.S. Relatively unscathed in the temporary sense. So one could imagine that things would continue with some remaining civilization in two-thirds of our country if all of this came true. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, my name is Joe.
Hey, Joe.
How you doing? I have a theory about the polar shifting.
Yes.
What if it's affected externally by the position that our solar system is in the Milky Way, and you know, if our solar system spins with the Milky Way, and it's in a certain position every 10,000, 20,000 years, and maybe it's a normal cycle that, I mean, we can't control, and I wonder if the polarity of the different planets in our solar system are affected the same way as ours is being affected now.
I don't know. That's, you know, pretty far out on a what-if limb, or here's what it might be limb, but you really can't dismiss anything because we don't understand the dynamics that drive things of this magnitude. We don't control them, we don't understand them, and we really don't understand what drives them. We there are some things we can know and measure, like the salinity levels, and the fresh water and the cold water, and we know what certain waters accomplish. But beyond that, what causes them to change, we don't have the slightest idea. We have no idea. None. It's all a guess. International line, you're on the air. Hello. Hello. Going once, going twice. Are you there? Guess not. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello, turn your radio off, please.
Okay.
Okay, where are you, sir?
I am from Missoula, Montana.
Missoula, all right, welcome.
I have a story about, something me and my friends saw out here in Missoula that we don't really think was human. So.
And something, did you say you shot?
No, not saw.
Something you saw?
Yeah.
All right, what?
So me and my friend, it was a really huge thunderstorm out here that started all the fires on August 7th this year in 2003.
I certainly recall the stories, yes.
Yeah, and so after the storm started to clear up, it turned into a really beautiful starry night. So we went up to the top of this hill to start looking at the stars.
Yes.
And we came to the end of a street, and we parked our car, went out and started looking around at the stars, and there's a big gully with sort of prairie-like, but there's like one tree. And I go over to look over across the valley, and it's hard to explain, but like a blue light scanned me from down in the gully, and I could hear clicking noises.
Mm-hmm.
And I've hunted and fished and stuff like that, and I have heard nothing like this ever. And I freaked out and went by the car, and my friend went over to go look at it, and I remember seeing the blue light scan him again, and he's a really stout Christian. And he ran the car, and we drove off, and we went to a place and just sat there. And he said he was never, ever going to believe anything that the church told him again.
Why?
Because he wouldn't even tell me what he saw. It was really eerie.
Well, I'm trying to imagine what could anybody could suddenly see that would immediately destroy all of their faith, everything the church had ever told them, everything they'd ever read in the Bible, that kind of thing, to destroy that kind of belief system with, as they say, just one look. That's pretty hard to believe.
Yeah, that's what I thought, but it was really weird.
Tell your friend to call me.
Okay.
All right, take Bye. Care. Yeah. We'll have to ask him that question. All right, we're in open lines, and that's where we're going to remain. Anything you want to talk about is fair game, although this article is worthy of some discussion. I'm Art Bell.
This part of the show, listen online with StreamLink.
log on to coasttocoastam.com. Code 775-727-1295. The first time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5. And dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
It is, and all of you, because it's open lines. Anything you want to talk about, fair game all night long. More of it directly ahead. World of the unknown. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, Art. This is Will calling to you from Virginia.
Yes, hi, Will.
Hey, you know, most of the salient features of your topic tonight have been covered, and I agree that the situation would be completely untenable worldwide, and you would have a mass exodus from the upper continents or wherever this is going to occur to the lower regions or the lower latitudes. Now, you know, The areas that are agro and energy friendly as this scenario unfolds are going to be target areas for most of the world.
You better now, believe it.
Right. Now, here in America, as the situation, I assume, would become untenable, you were talking about the Southwest there, I believe that our military would begin to move into those areas. And I think that they would do so fairly rapidly because, you know, you have other you know, powers that be that would be thinking the same thing. If we don't move now, then somebody else is going to get there first. And, you know, right now we are the foremost military power in the world.
And, by the way, and of course we are, we're in Iraq.
Oh, no doubt. And yeah, it seems like, you know, we're going energy hunting maybe right now.
You think that could be?
No, it's a possibility. And you were talking about terrorism.
We don't,
you
know, seem to have found those cotton-picking weapons of mass destruction.
There are none. That's my personal
opinion.
Well,
there may not be.
You know, that's just me. But, you know, as we begin to move about, as that scenario begins to unfold, if there is any upsurge in terrorism because of that, it would be to upset the geopolitics of the scenario itself.
Yeah.
You know, as other people may begin to use diplomacy to try to work things out, you may see terrorism begin to manifest itself to disrupt that and swing it one way or the other.
Yeah, so this whole thing is really something. And again, let me run this one by you. I'm really curious about this. I mean, the magnitude of this story, of course, is incredible. Do you think that the rest of the media, you know, I mean, this already is a lot. It's, you know, big in Britain right now, obviously, just breaking tonight. But do you think the rest of the world will assimilate this and run stories on it? Do you think this will become a mass media item, or do you think it'll be buried?
I believe it may be buried. Mm-hmm. It may be buried because, you know, you've had so many different shows about population control and those that want the population down to, I forget the number you had stated, but it was very low. And as a scenario like that unfolds, the, you know, those entities, wherever they may be saying, hey, let's get all our affairs in order. You guys talk about the underground tunnel and so forth. They may be tooling up for that already. And, you know, the media, and you know how it is in the media, today's media is only interested in what's current and what's in vogue. This is a serious story, but like you, your previous callers have stated, it's not Michael Jackson. It's not Britney Spears. This is deadly serious, but I still believe it will be buried.
Britney Spears. All right, thank you very much. And take care. And he could be correct, of course. Even a story of this magnitude, there it is. Go read it yourself. It's on, got it on the website an hour before air. Read it yourself. The magnitude of it is incredible. The people and scientists involved are unimpeachable. Really, they are, as they go. And the news is totally dire. Now, what do you think the nation's big media will do? We'll all have fun watching this. I'm telling you, it's classic stuff. Absolutely classic. Tremendous story. And again, what do you think the nation's major media will do? Will CNN cover it and then not the other networks? Will the other networks gather it together and say, oh, this is a big story. Wait a minute, let's put this ahead of Jennifer. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, good morning, Art.
Good morning, sir.
This is Vince calling you from snowy, frozen Denver, listening to you on KHOW.
Welcome.
Thank you. Before I get to my subject, I just want to say, as far as European continent freezing over, if that happens.
Yes.
Yeah, well, let them eat cake.
Let them eat cake.
Yeah, I don't have any use for the whole lot of them.
Yeah, okay. Well, there will be that attitude, so let them
eat. They gave us two world wars and a spineless, self-serving socialist.
Let them eat cake with frosting.
Yeah, there you go. Lots and lots of frosting.
God.
Gosh, yeah, what I call mainly about is the Aurora Project.
The Aurora Project, yes. That aircraft we don't have, which we do, of course.
Yeah, now, I was talking to an airline pilot, a captain at Denver Airport, and he said that he'd been in the Air Force, and I was asking about that, what is it? And I didn't even know what it was. He just said it was an airplane that can do some pretty amazing things. And I wondered if you knew more, if there's any update on it. Is it in production? Is it being used now?
Well, I hear it's flying. I have friends who claim to see the Aurora on a pretty regular basis now. I hear it's flying out of California.
And what can it do that's so amazing?
Well, you know, if we knew that, they'd have to kill us. I have no idea. Just, you know, I guess Mach 7, Mach better than 7. I don't know. Amazing things. Covers it very well.
Does it fly like in the stratosphere up there?
I believe, yes. It is sort of a suborbital type deal. But, hey, I'm just guessing.
Huh.
And things I've heard. I really don't know. It's a secret project, still secret project. And they don't, believe me, they don't give you the performance characteristics of aircraft like the Aurora. You eventually get them, but there is lots and lots of aircraft we don't know really know what they can do, right? We know sort of vague stats, but they never tell us everything about the B-2 or the 117, or, you know, we don't know all about that, do we? We're not meant to. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. It's good to talk to you. You sound great.
Thank you.
Which means your back is better, and I'm glad for that.
My back is better because I lost weight.
Ah, that's wonderful. That's my goal. I'm calling with regard to all of this. I look at it sort of like frames of a film, and I think we've got to look in between the frames. I think there's the possibility of financial collapse, and other collapses happening.
Oh, I should say.
In the midst of all this, and the last caller brought up a really interesting point that I hit, that I thought about, and that's black ops. If all these things do start happening,
yes.
and the last thing we need to consider is whether or not we're going to take other populations, because there could be corporate collapses and gold standards going up and other things going on.
All of that is correct, and more.
Yeah, what role would black ops play in controlling the population?
Oh, a big one. A really big one. This would be a world-changing event. So I don't know how much would change. I don't know how our form of government would withstand an economic total dump of the kind we could have. I don't know.
I also, with regard to your beginning question, I think that this kind of a thing, this kind of a problem, is just like seismic denial with earthquakes. I think it would be buried. No one would want to talk about it because no one would dare be able to face the consequences.
Yeah, it is so scary that I can see them making that choice. I really can. And I think what we observe in the media in the next days and weeks will tell us which it is. Because, you know, if they ignore this, then we know what's going on.
Well, there's a presidential election coming up. They're going to ignore everything to make money on commercials for the presidential election. Take care, Art.
All right,
good
sir.
To talk to you.
Take care. Well, I'm telling you, that's going to be one of the more interesting aspects of the magnitude of this article, is going to be watching the mainstream media to see what they do and how they handle it. And I wonder to what degree that decision is made by those other than at the network level. International Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning. I'm calling from Baja, Mexico.
Well, down in Mexico. Cool.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah,
love
welcome.
Your program.
Thank you.
I was struck when you mentioned the Woods Hole announcement that there, by the seemingly prophetic fiction, for example, of Jules Verne.
Yes.
And it reminded me of an American author whose name, I apologize, I can't remember, wrote two volumes about this exact occurrence, although he attributes it to a different cause.
Uh-huh.
One of the books, if anyone were interested in reading, possible methodologies for ameliorating the problem, is the second was Empire of Ice. I believe the first was Cold Sea Rising.
What were some of the suggestions for, in some way, lessening the problem?
One of the things he suggested was geothermals, using geothermals as an energy source. Another was sort of plexiglass microenvironments.
Domes?
Under, yes.
Domes.
Well,
yeah.
Geodesic rather than, yeah.
Yeah.
And having cities, each of these would hold approximately 250,000 people. And it's the logistics of this is incredible. And having been told many times people hate to have to think for any length of time, I think perhaps that might be an explanation as why people are having some trouble facing this.
Yeah, these are the kinds of things, though, that I really believe we've got to start thinking about.
I agree.
If we know that switch has been thrown and Europe is about to go into the deep freeze, then it would so disrupt the world that if we didn't do something to lessen it, something of that magnitude or whatever, I'm even happy to hear about that suggestion, then we doom ourselves.
The other thing that had occurred to me is perhaps we need something on the scale of an animal/human sperm/overbank kind of a thing.
A modern cryogenic Noah's Ark.
Wonderful, exactly.
Yes.
Yes. The other question I had for you, and I must have missed it, where was the Woods Hole announcement made originally? You were talking about mass media response.
Was it a journal article of some sort?
I'm reading to you what I did read. Did you hear me read it, by the way?
No, I did not.
It was an article
on it.
January 25th, 2004, today. Global warming will plunge Britain into new ice age within decades. Some of the quotes in it make that sound like nothing. I mean, it's an amazing, scary article, and we've got it up on the website at coasttocoastam.com right now, a link right there in the middle of the page.
But the original source was?
All kinds of varying sources, including U.S. Woods Hole Oceanographic Institute.
Right. The reason I ask it that way was I know that it takes quite a while for journal articles, for example, to come to print, and it occurs to me that if Woods Hole knows this, then surely the American political establishment, government.
Well, again, Woods Hole said the development described as, quote, their words, the largest and most dramatic oceanic change ever measured in the era of modern instruments.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm just thinking that, yes, if this were known to the government prior to the announcement, then surely we might be able to back engineer what's been going on in terms of actions taken by our government.
Yes, I have no way of knowing, for example, how long they've known these new figures, and I have no way of knowing. You're right about that. I mean, there could have been consideration going on for some time now. How do you think, I'll ask you too, because it's really a cool question. Now that this is out, how do you think the mass media will or won't deal with it?
I come up short there. I apologize. I used to think I understood that the media was there to make sure that the public were informed, and I'm beginning to wonder if that's or informed with the truth.
I mean,
so that we can make intelligent decisions about ourselves and our lives
yes,
and the
ma'am.
World.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Right. So, I mean, this is a really serious worldwide impact, wowzer kind of story. And so will they do this, or will we see more Jennifer and whatever all the media is doing right now?
Depending on the seriousness of the paper, of the media itself, I think they will address the issue. Maybe it'll be on page 13, but I think that it may well surface. There might be enough concern, interest, debate on the topic so that people who are in the scientific and engineering and people who are concerned about agribusiness in one way or another and
Let it be known that the listeners of this program are going to be watching.
Indeed. We will.
I appreciate your call. And whether they do or don't will tell us so much about how things are done, won't it? This is one of those rare opportunities when, boom, there it is. Now we can watch the media response to it or lack of and make certain judgments based on that. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. This is Brendan calling from Kenai, Alaska.
Well, hi there.
Hi, I have a couple quick comments and then a real quick theory.
Sure.
All right. First of all, I'm the one that a short while ago back I drew the drawing of George and I.
Okay.
And I'm looking at the one I just drew of you that finished a short while ago, and I'm going to send it in to you guys.
Why? Thank you, I think.
My other comment was on the question of the night.
Yes.
I think that if that happened to the European continent, I think that the United States would, I think they'd do something sort of like what they did in the movie Deep Impact.
Yes.
Where they'd randomly select certain people to come over to the United States.
There'd be some sort of, let's see if I can remember Deep Impact correctly, there was a selection board that met and decided who was worthy in a certain age bracket and who wasn't. And there were some exceptions for really brilliant people, and I don't know. They made it ethically the best scientists, the best minds, the best this and that, right?
Yeah.
You think we'd do that?
Yeah. I think they'd do something like that or something of that sort.
and then let the rest of Europe freeze like a giant popsicle?
I don't see it. Well, I don't think that the United States would allow everybody from the European continent to come over.
I doubt that, too. Although, certainly, to some degree, we would have to open our borders, and you think we'd do it by committee, kind of, like,
yeah.
Impact. Oh, jeez. Pretty terrible. Do you, well, okay, you are the last one to get a shot at this. This is a big bombshell kind of article. Do you think the American media will pick up on this and we'll see big stories later in the day today? It'll just flash around the world, or do you think it'll be buried like some old newspaper?
I don't think it's going to be released anytime soon.
Really?
I don't think so. I don't think the American government wants to start a panic.
So you believe the American government can control the American media to that degree?
Well, as far as money goes, I think so.
Yeah, okay, well, that'll have to be the last word. That's it. I really enjoyed the open lines. Tonight was a blast. From the high desert, I'm Art Bell. Here in the southwest part of the U.S.
Midnight in the desert.
Good night, all.
Shooting stars across the sky. Woo! This magical journey will take us on a ride. Filled with the longing, searching for the truth. Will we make it to tomorrow? Will the sun shine on you?